Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute and a half past the hour on this, the 26th day of January 2016. And if anybody knows what happened to January, tell somebody. This is every year, it's a little faster. I believe in the relativity of time. I believe. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room where folks are already happily assembling for Titanic Tuesday. Yes, indeed. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Sentient Being, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. And others will wander in as they see fit. We do not stand upon ceremony here. If you would like to be part of the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is Horn Chat, well, all you got to do is go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be part of the merriment and the merrymaking. Yes, indeed. This is, of course, a listener-supported operation. We try to raise the paltry sum, the tiny sum, the wee sum, and we raise it, you know, $5 here, $10 there, a dollar here, a dollar there. We try to raise $200 every evening just to keep all of this going and to keep the bills paid, the lights on, the heat, such as there is, heating. And let me just say that it's kind of weird, but I don't know. I think what happened is my coal-burning neighbor decamped during the worst of the cold. And now that it's, there's still a nice blanket of snow on the ground. But I think with temperatures having warmed a bit, we got up into the 40s today. It's a tropical 63 degrees here in the fabulous Horn studio at the magnificent Horn Mansion, the Kincaid Manse, we call it here. What I was saying about my neighbor, I think he's come home because there's lots of miasmic, sulfurous, putrid coal smoke blowing through the walls and under the doors, and it creeps around the corners and through the window panes and all that T.S. Eliot proof rock stuff. Yeah, I think he came home. And, well, damn, more's the pity, because I get to enjoy it for the rest of the program. Yeah. It is, who doesn't love the smell of brimstone in the winter? It smells like climate change, right? Yeah. But we try to raise $200 every evening to keep things going here. We had a challenge right at the end of the program last night, courtesy of our dear friend Tracy, the lady cab driver, with whom we all had a lovely conversation. She offered to double the first $40 that came in right at the end of the program, so that will be extended into this evening. And that will take care of the little bit of an overage or underage that we had for yesterday. We need to raise $280 this evening. And answering Tracy's challenge and doubling your money up to $40 will will be a big part of that. And after that, well, it's just 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12 and a quarter, and 32 at, what did we say, 6 and 12 and a half cents, $6.13, and call it 307 at 60, 32, whatever. You, me, ciphering gazettas, we know. Anyway you slice it, the PayPal button is under the tab Contribute at headonradionetwork.com. You can leave out the part about what it is you do and how you do it and where you do it and how long you've been doing it and whether you like whether you're doing it. And really, you do that? You can leave all that out and just get to the next screen. If, however, you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, please remember, don't send cash. But checks and money orders made payable to the Horn are more than welcome. Boss man Wayne hates reaching into the mailbox and finding it an echo chamber. The spiders there in the back just about chew the spider-proof gloves right off his hands. That address, of course, is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And, yeah, it would be nice. Remember a while back when John, the trucker, was telling us about on-demand, or no, just-in-time, not on-demand, but just-in-time merchandise supplying? That's a great idea, I guess, to keep stores from having to actually carry over inventories. It's a great idea until it's not just-in-time, so I've been making little forays over across the river every day trying to find out if there's more propane to be had, because while we're going to have some weirdly unseasonable climate changey weather here, and I don't guess Senator Snowball's going to show up and watch a snowball melt in the Senate chambers, but my goodness gracious, let's see, we got up to a high of around 43 today, 32 tomorrow, 43 the following, but get this. The high for Tuesday, the second day of February, otherwise known as Groundhog Day, here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, will be 61 degrees with a low of 45. You know, when we get that kind of weather around here, the ginseng starts popping through the snow, and things start to bud, and it does not bode well for later spring, because this is false. But no, just the same. I know some. I know the craptastic weather will probably come back, and it would be nice to have another supply of propane laid in. But until such time, well, you know, we gotta deal with it. It is, in fact, as if you follow Carol Baker on Facebook, it's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Carol puts out a pre-show warning, a note every evening. And this, of course, Tuesdays, we celebrate the Titanic, as in full steam ahead into the nearest available iceberg. Titanic intellect of the right wing in this country. And occasionally there are other Titanic intellects. This is one of those evenings when one of those Titanic intellects will find, in this case, her way into the discussion, into the dialogue. But Titanic Tuesday was named for something that happened several years ago now on over in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, Stan, in which the monotonous right-wing morning guy, Steve, once took a call from one of his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers, or mouth-knuckling, breathe-walking, I don't know, who said, "Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." My God, that caller just gets stupider by the week, doesn't he? To which, with his stentorian, self-satisfied monotone, he replied, Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Yes, yes, absolutely. The movement of the Titanic plates. One wonders if the Titanic plates can. One wonders if the Titanic plates move if you pull the Titanic tablecloth out from under them real quickie like. Not sure. Not sure. But that's what we celebrate. That is what we celebrate here on Titanic Tuesday. Daggum it there in the chat room. Anatole said, "I was going to send a roll of quarters, Mr. Bob." Yeah, I'd like to have a nose full of nickels, but never mind. W.C. Fields reference, look it up. Mommy, that man's got a very big nose. Don't be rude, child. Wouldn't you like to have a nose like that full of nickels? Thank you very kindly, Thomas, over at FYINation.com. I hear you loud and clear. Yay! Got all the buttons pushed in all the right order, and everything just it started off in rare and wonderful fashion this evening. Yes, indeed. So, Titanic Tuesday, where do we begin? Well, let's get this part out of the way. This is something that sort of begged for attention in the last day or so. And as I noted, occasionally we get we get nominees for Titanic Tuesday, Moran Monday, things like that. This could have gone either way. This could have easily been Moran Monday material, but I didn't get to it quite in time. It easily fits into Titanic intellect as well. And it comes from a quarter that I don't like featuring on this program, when people who are allegedly liberal, allegedly progressive, it just make complete fools of themselves. For a couple of years, I used to read, and I would sort of blow past them and gloss over them because I found them vacuous in the extreme. A person by the name of Elisa Rosenberg wrote articles for Think Progress, and generally she tried to cover the pop culture beat and wrote about television programs. Yeah, okay, I guess that matters to some people. But I think it was an attempt on Think Progress's part to be a little less wonky, a little bit more warm and fuzzy. This is a blog post, because apparently she has gotten herself a blogging gig over at the Washington Post. Okay. And she's apparently moved on from just covering television shows. Here's the real live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding headline. Stop sexually harassing Ammon Bundy and his fellow Oregon occupiers. Did you know that? Did you know that ammonium nitrate Bundy and Ryan Bundy and Lavoie Finkonum, who walked out on four fragile foster children down in Arizona, and I don't know, Bryce Cooper, whose name isn't Bryce Cooper, and John Crackerheimer, all those, did you know they were being sexually harassed? Well, according to Elisa Rosenberg, progressive person, they are. Oh, help me. Now, just to review, ammonium nitrate Bundy and Ryan Bundy, et cetera, et al., are actively involved in the commission of at least sedition and quite possibly treason against the government of the United States of America, which is, of course, an expression of the will of we the people trying to build a more perfect union. I've never known of a situation where people who were engaged in sedition or treason were entitled to just a hell of a lot of sympathy. But coming from the kumbaya tambourine department of American liberal progressivism, yea, verily and forsooth, behold, Alyssa Rosenberg, stop sexually harassing Ammon Bundy and his fellow Oregon occupiers. Goddamn. I mean, just goddamn. Whew! First of all, Alyssa. Can I call you Alyssa? Well, even if I can't, I'm going to call you Alyssa. First of all, Alyssa, they're not occupiers. They're criminals. Stop sexually harassing Ammon Bundy and his fellow Oregon criminals. Crooks, if you like. Thugs works equally well. Seditionists probably won't sell in a headline on a blog for the Washington Post. No. But she starts out, and I think a stupid voice is called for here. I am no admirer of Ammon Bundy and the people he has led in their occupation of Oregon's Mueller National Wildlife Refuge since January 10th. Occupation. How about attack? How about siege? No, it's an occupation. You know, just like Zuccotti Park. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Then enhancing her position, she says, they're poseurs. Spelling it, of course, in that highfalutin Frenchy way, with P-O-S-E-U-R-S. You mean posers? Yeah, posers. Who've bandwagoned onto the cause of people who don't want their support. They're talking bare about the Hammonds. But for all that I look forward to the day when Bundy and his followers are safely removed from the refuge. Safely removed from the refuge? Okay, as long as no one is harmed when ammonium nitrate Bundy and the rest of the treasonous bastards there are stacked up like cordwood and carried out feet first, cool. I mean, because that's what they want, and I have proof that, I mean, they said so. We're coming here to fight. We didn't come here to fight. We come here to die. They said that, Alyssa Rosenberg, not me. No. Safely removed from the refuge. Oh, my goodness. Maybe we can give them some footy jammies and make s'mores around a campfire. Wouldn't it be lovely? But for all that I look forward to the day when Bundy and his followers are safely removed from the refuge, I've been disturbed by the way that some internet pranksters, you pranksters, have chosen to tweak the occupiers. Again with the occupiers! Jesus jumping Christ on a... by convincing themselves that sexual harassment is actually meaningful political protest. Yes. They're being... Those poor Bundy boys. They're being sexually harassed. Oh, my God. I'm not kidding. These are all actual words that this woman wrote and that were actually posted. You know why I think the Washington Post published this on their blog? To make the rest of liberals and progressives look really bad. Because, see, this is what they think of us, the rest of America.
Ah, you want to have a sensitivity session to find out why they want to overturn the government.
Damn, 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 damn. Lottie in the chat room noting, in this situation, I approve the use of white phosphorus. No, Mr. Gibson in the chat room just remarked, send them more dildos. No, that's the whole gravamen of Alyssa Rosenberg's complaint, Grant. That's sexual harassment when we send them dildos in a 55-gallon barrel of lube. It's sexual harassment. No, really. By convincing themselves that sexual harassment is actually meaningful political protest. I can imagine that some of these wags were inspired. Scamp. These wags were inspired by the occupiers themselves after John Ritzheimer, one of the men holed up in the sanctuary. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Thank you for the use of the phrase hold up. Posted a video referring to sexual paraphernalia and candy shaped like genitalia that they'd received as an abundance of hate mail. From there, the spiral was inevitable. Oh, the spirals, the spirals. GQ published a step-by-step guide on how to send sex toys to Oregon. Max Temkin, a graphic designer who worked on Barack Obama's campaign for president and went on to design the wildly popular, darkly humorous game Cards Against Humanity, shipped the occupiers an extremely large container of personal lubricant for use, he said, with the other mail they'd been getting. And in his column last week, Dan Savage urged a reader who was looking for environmentally responsible ways to dispose of old sex toys to send them to Oregon, helpfully providing the relevant address. Bad scamps, bad wags, bad. Alyssa, have you ever even taken a minute to read Saul Alinsky? I mean, you're a liberal, you're a progressive, so you're already chargeable with being a fifth columnist for Saul Alinsky, so you might as well read the stuff. In Rules for Radicals, he does lay out that one of the most powerful tools that we can use against them is ridicule and humor, wit and sarcasm. Mm-hmm. But not for Alyssa Rosenberg, for she is a pure liberal progressive. The tendency, even in left-leaning outlets, has been to cover these stunts approvingly, and to mock the occupiers. Again, that's three times with the occupiers. Careful, Alyssa, or ammonium nitrate Bundy's going to show up in right there next to you and your keyboard. Oh, swoon. What is wrong with you people? Do you think people sent candy penises to Washington at Valley Forge? Quipped Charles P. Pearson, Esquire. Fusion covered Temkin's gesture with an air of mock concern for Bundy and his followers. I can imagine these sorts of stunts make for decent traffic. Decent traffic. Which is why they've been covered so widely. But it's left me feeling amazed at the speed with which some liberals seem to take leave of their senses and principles when they have an opportunity to tweak people on the right and far right. Ritzheimer may have been overstating the case when he called sexual paraphernalia hate mail. But this campaign to barrage the occupiers with sex toys and sexual material is, italics on, definitely, italics off, sexual harassment. Stop helping, Alyssa. Stop helping. Go back to writing about TV shows, please. That's a good question. Lottie asking in the chat room, do candy penises come with malted milk balls? And then he corrected to say milk. I think milk works as well. Pushing sexual material and equipment on someone doesn't suddenly become whimsical and cute rather than aggressive and harassing just because the recipient is a man or a conservative. and raising the specter of gay sex as somehow discrediting is homophobic, even if your target opposes gay rights. This isn't cleverness. It's thoughtless and bro-ish. Bro-ish? How in the sweet name of... does bro-ish get past a copy editor? God almighty. You know, this is not the great big news of the day. I mean, my God, you've had the smartest man on the radio to give you the great big news of the day earlier today, and I'm certainly not going to cover, just go over that ground all over again, unless I feel like I've got something particular to say about it. But I wanted to get this out there as an example of just how wrong we get things. As an aside, I read an essay today by Ted Rall. It was a critique, and I thought a fair one, of Senator Bernie Sanders' campaign for president. It wasn't a jeremiad or anything scathing. He pointed out a couple of flaws that probably need tweaking. But then, in approving terms, he compared a possible nomination of Senator Sanders and particularly Senator Sanders' political philosophy and political stances. He compared them to Senator McGovern in 1972, who lost 49 out of 50 states to Richard Milhouse Pinhead Nixon. Pinhead was the middle name that was awarded him by, I do believe, Harry S. Truman. And my only point is, no. If you want a historic comparison that you can make to Bernie, the relevant and accurate comparison is to President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who remains almost universally admired and almost universally acknowledged as one of the greatest occupants of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue this country has had since it's had 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Framing. It matters. That pranksters are doing this to the Oregon occupiers, that's four. She's so liberal, so progressive, she can't even bother to call them criminals, thugs, idiots, patriots, vanilla ISIS. No. Well, that would be unfair to ISIS. And wow, that pranksters are doing this to the Oregon occupiers at a moment when the Democratic Party is trying to respond to Republican charges that liberals don't take former President Bill Clinton's alleged sexual conduct seriously. See, she's so liberal she can't even call it misconduct. Wow. It makes the whole thing particularly surreal. It's cool when we do it, but gross when they do is not even a semblance of a workable standard. If you want to tweak Bundy and his compatriots by sending them things they don't actually need, there are plenty of ways of doing it that don't involve sexual harassment. How about sending them lots and lots of Portlandia DVDs? Oh. Oh, God damn. Newman! Portlandia DVDs? You know, one of the important things about an insult when you're trying to deliver one is that the person you're insulting understand that he or she is being insulted. Such is damned well not the case. with Portlandia. No, no, not by a great goddamn big long shot. Yeah, that's what I thought. Stand by a minute. I just unplugged a wire. All better now. This is embarrassing. Sending sex toys to mock a bunch of people committing sedition or treason is not italics on, definitely, italics off, definitely, sexual harassment. And I don't know where... Because, see, this is what happened. I don't know where Alyssa Rosenberg got the notion that this had anything to do with being gay or asserting that anyone was gay. My understanding of the reason for sending these things to them was that they were dicks for dicks. And hence the bag of dicks for a bag of dicks. Now, I suppose, you know, on... One of our calmer evenings, when we've got nothing better to do, we can talk about the usage of genital anatomical references as insults, and I don't think we'll solve anything, but we might come to a better understanding. You know, like the conversation I had with Tracy last night while we tried to figure out why Southern Californians put the article "the" in front of a highway number. It's at least an interesting intellectual exercise. But good God Almighty! And I love her. Attempt to convince by converse comparison. Can you imagine what the reaction would be on the left if conservatives were sending sex toys to feminists in order to mock them? Yeah, my reaction would be anger, because there would be a direct relationship, a one-to-one correlation between the two. Or if conservatives were trying to tar the Occupy encampments by implying that they were the sites of gay orgies, they did that. More particularly, who was it? The Beckerhead, who screamed that there were rapes going on all over Zuccotti Park, and it was just a rape carnival. The right wing did that, but this isn't that. This is simply. And I know Alyssa Rosenberg probably doesn't even begin to comprehend this. This is simply political speech. God forbid she ever finds out, and I'm sure in a minute Tim from L.A. will tell me what the name of it is. I think it's Shinto religious ceremony in Japan where they carry giant penises in a town festival or something, fertility rites or whatever. Alyssa Rosenberg would probably pass right the out if she ever saw, say, a production of Lysistrata. Yeah. Carol Baker mentioned to me a minute ago, she said, you know, I had a so-called liberal... man mansplain why we had ceded the moral high ground in regard to dildos for dildos. I was a whiner because I called bullshit on her argument because no one is taking this from the historically traditional view of those of us who have actually been, you know, sexually harassed. I had a boss in the 70s who used to grab my boob like it was a handshake. No complaining back then, and even thinking about keeping your job, of course. Yeah, this is what Alyssa Rosenberg wrote here is the equivalent of someone proclaiming starvation while sitting at a cordon bleu 12-course meal. This is what happens when you are far, far away from reality and occupy some perch. There's that word again. From whence one expects to declare to the hoi polloi what they should and should not be thinking. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd forgotten that. Maybe it wasn't the Beckerhead in the chat room. Stockton Larry saying, if memory serves, that was not so bright Bart, currently residing in hell. With the rape allegations in Zuccotti Park. Maybe it was. Jennifer, in Australia, says, this is just a good old healthy American go fuck yourself, boys, with an added grin, or maybe a giggle. Yeah. But no, we must be ever so grim. In Alyssa Rosenberg's world, and everything, and yet she's the one who brings up gay sex when there was nothing. Dan Savage, for God's sakes, the guy who invented the word Santorum, from which we created the term bro fromix. Thank you, Michael and Madison. Dan Savage is okay with it, but I guess he's a wag. No matter the fact that he's probably saved the lives of countless thousands of gay teens with his It Gets Better campaign. Alyssa Rosenberg, she of titanic intellect, knoweth better. So there's one of our titanic intellects for the evening. And like I said, it grieves me when the titanic intellects are on, well, allegedly on our side. But there it is. We're just not being sensitive enough to people who are actively engaged in the commission of what? Sedition and treason. Right. Oh, and just a gentle reminder, it's 21 minutes before the hour. Just a gentle reminder for those listening live, it won't mean much afterward unless you can. Well, I think you'll be able to go over and watch it on the first two or three episodes on YouTube. Outsiders begins tonight on WGN, and I've read some reviews, and they are generally positive. They say there's some very good character development. So maybe look it up and see when it's going to be on. If you can't watch it live, well, set your TiVo or your DVR or what the hell ever. Carol distills Alyssa Rosenberg nicely for us. Essentially, those boys up in Oregon don't impact her latte-sipping millennial life there in Manhattan. And I think that's probably true. Now, we got more Oregon stuff. And I don't want to fixate on this, but I guess it's a little late. I see this as an important moment in the history of our country. Because this treasonous, seditious act is gaining adherence with every day that the government continues to wink at it and countenance it. And thus, I think we are wise to take note of it. Consider, for instance, something that happened in the last few days at a gas station out in Oregon. Heinz Market on US 20, late Monday morning, when Joseph A. Stetson answered a few questions from a member of the Oregon State Police who had been alerted to Mr. Stetson's presence. We're going to go to the audio for this one, especially since we had that representative from the state legislature of Washington last night who declared, yes, indeed, who declared that he earned those medals. He just couldn't remember what unit he was in or where it happened. And nobody needs to know the details because it's really not that important to the voters. This after representing himself as someone who survived a mortar attack during the illegal war on the people of Iraq, or maybe the right war, as it was called, in Afghanistan. Now, the audio is a little dodgy on this because it's recorded off the microphone, the body mic, that the Oregon State Police officer is wearing. I'll set the scene by telling you that Mr. Stetson is clad all in camo with a ball cap, and he's talking with the state police officer. Let's check this out. Courtesy of the Oregonian.
Yeah? What's going on today, huh?
Well, I'm going to, what's going on with you guys?
We just kind of call people a little concerned what's going on
with you. I'm all right, sir.
I just figured I'd come and talk to you. See what
you're very concerned about.
Oh, yeah? Excellent.
Yes, sir.
Kurt, retired, or are you?
Retired.
Retired?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I served in Central America.
Oh, yeah, I served in Central America.
What years?
1979.
Okay.
Okay. Mark Gills, and you can think of, sir.
Yeah. What are you up to today?
Well, I'm going to Banks, Oregon.
Oh, yeah?
That's the damn president's right, sir.
To where?
Banks, Oregon.
Banks?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's
this patriot idiot doesn't even know where he's going. Hey, I'm going to Banks, Oregon. Served in the military in 1979. Oh, we haven't gotten to the fun part. This isn't one of those screaming hockey puck moments. This is one of those to keep where you put the hockey puck in your mouth to keep from disturbing the neighbors with gales of laughter.
Well, that's what we're about to have home on
that,
huh?
No, it's,
I actually used to live in Banks.
No. Sorry, sir.
Okay. While we're talking, would you mind just keeping your hands out of your pocket while we're talking? No, you seem like a nice guy, but this makes me a little less
nervous. Not being soft.
Damn it.
And now, understand, John Stetson is apparently well and properly tanked. So he keeps turning away from the police officer to keep from giving him a 150 proof blast of his breath, because he's standing there at a gas station, right? And he ain't walking. Mm-hmm. And he keeps sticking his hands in his pocket, and that's why the state police officer said, would you mind keeping your hands out of your pocket? You seem like a nice enough guy, but, you know, just so we can keep this all friendly and everything. At once again, one wonders what the situation would have been had this person, had dark skin. But nonetheless, the cop does a pretty good job.
It sounds like, well, what's the name of the town where the stand on this?
Yeah, we're actually real close to it. Yeah,
what's the name of the
Burns?
Talking
about
Burns?
For you. All right.
Burns.
So, is this your vehicle?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Were you just driving by yourself? Or?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Where are you from?
New York.
New York?
Yes.
All the way from New York? Wow. Okay.
You drive from New York?
No, I came out here and by the...
Okay.
Sir, I'm going to Banks already.
Okay.
Now we're back to Banks
okay.
again.
Oh, I understand that.
Piece of shit, Obama, Muslim piece of shit, sir.
Okay. Hey, I can understand that.
Wait.
A little concerned right now.
Because he was kind of drunk mumbling. Going out to Banks because of that piece of shit Obama, that Muslim piece of shit. To which the Oregon State Police officer said, "Oh, I can understand that." Apparently, the officer either feels that way, or he's had some pretty intensive conflict de-escalation training. Yeah, we'll go back here.
New York. Yes.
All the way from New York. Wow. Okay. Did you drive all the way from New York?
No, I came out here and by the.
Okay.
Sir, I'm going to Banks, Oregon.
Okay.
To make a stand.
Okay. No, I understand that.
You guys can piece of shit, Obama, Muslim piece of shit, sir.
Okay. Hey, I can understand that. Little concern right now as I'm talking to you. Have you been drinking today?
No, sir.
You haven't had anything to drink today?
No.
How about any medication?
No.
Okay. Do you take medication?
No.
Okay. Do you have any medical issues?
No.
Okay. And I don't know if I told you, but we are being recorded right now.
Yeah, I don't know. We're being recorded.
What do you mean?
By audio. Every time I talk to someone, that you know, they have to be, they're recording.
We're being recorded. What do you mean? Because you know that this clown immediately... God damn it, I knew it. They're recording me through the fillings in my teeth.
I just want to
I'm a colonel in the United
States. No, and I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm a colonel in the United States Army. Oh, this is good. This is really, really good. Okay, you probably missed it. My records were sealed by Ronald Reagan. I told you there would be gales of laughter. Oh, this is precious. This is just charming. This is darling. This is delightful. Which prompted the remark from Ron in the frozen north. Somewhere today, I read a line from a deputy sheriff noting that 500 Navy SEALs served in Vietnam, and I've met at least 2,000 of them. This is that guy, yes. Absolutely. But do let us not tarry. Listen, yeah, I'm a colonel in the United States Army, My records were sealed by Ronald Reagan.
So what were you planning on doing, though, when you were out?
Well, I'm just going to go out there and just protect the Bundys.
Okay.
Hey, I'm just going to go out there and protect the Bundys.
You're the personal guard.
Okay.
We're going to kill
I was
going to
be their personal guard.
Okay. Well, I can understand that. So.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you have an ID on you, on the person?
Yes.
Okay. Well, where is it?
Right
there? Okay.
Right over here.
Yeah, I do see that gun right there. Making me a little nervous. Do you mind if we hold on that while we talk to you? Are you okay with one of these guys taking that off you?
Can't touch
it. Okay, well, the thing is, you know, right now, I'm a little...
So, he says, do you have some ID? And Colonel Murgatroyd, whose records were sealed by Ronald Reagan, lifts up the blouse of his camos to get his wallet, at which point the officer sees a piece, you know, a freedom protector, and says, you mind if one of the boys holds that for you? Oh, you can't have my gun. You can't have my gun. Because remember, these sovereign citizen goobs think that that state police officer has no jurisdiction over them. The only person that they'll talk to is the county sheriff. Now, Stetson, this is not Vietnam. There are rules.
No, I won't touch it. Okay. All right. So where is your ID?
Well, let me...
If you want to tell me where it is... I tell you what, how about you just give me your ID, name, date of birth?
Hi, Ryan. All right.
Well, no, I appreciate that, and I understand that. I understand that. And I have a lot of friends.
That's America. Yeah.
I have a lot of friends. I have, you know, and I have
state law enforcement.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. But right now, I'm just...
My name is Joseph Arthur Stetson.
Okay.
Date of birth.
Now, bless their hearts, out in Oregon, they preserve the privacy of John Stetson by muting the microphone or what, you know, just going to silence here while he's giving his date of birth. Yay, freedom. We are 3 minutes and 47 seconds into a transaction that probably would have had a black man on the ground inside of 20. You know, because Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, under visible, under God. Amen. Hallelujah. God we trust. Right? Yeah. Busy highway.
Appreciate it.
Yep. I'm wrong. I respect authority.
Okay.
I'll defend you all
in concert. I appreciate that. Right now.
I respect authority. I'll defend you all with my life. Yeah, you know it. Carol says, that's where I lost it laughing. Reminds me of Eddie Murphy in Trading Places when asked where he served in Vietnam. Oh, I'd forgotten about that part. Jennifer pointing out, hey ho, these boys has gots to go. It's being allowed to grow, and considering how many gunned up boys there are out there, this has gone from a thing that could get out of hand to a thing that is out of hand. At this point, it's pretty clear that one way or another, it ain't going to end at all well. Therefore, it needs to be ended now. This just one day from Daily Kos's, yep, it's a thang. FBI talks end abruptly. Bundy headed straight to the Harney Sheriff's office for meeting. Bundy tells the FBI the standoff will end when they leave peacefully, turn over all federal land. Oregon militant, lawful authority to kill a police officer that is unlawfully trying to arrest you. Open letter to the Obama administration regarding the wildlife refuge siege. Bundy supporter accuses counter-protester of being FBI, yelling, get your hands out. Oh, Jeebus. Gerald says, you know, Bob, I've often noticed when chatting with veterans, it seems that I've had the privilege of only meeting ex-special forces and snipers, probably a few Navy SEALs, too. I've yet to meet anybody that, you know, drove a truck or loaded aircraft or, hell, just swept up the place after everybody left. I've certainly been fortunate to meet only the exceptional that served in our military, haven't I? Yes, yes, you have, even if they served only in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between their... Oh, and around and about and over their great big lizard brain amygdala and pass for brains. Yes, yes. Yeah, this is Central America, 1979. Ronald Reagan sealed my records. Okay, we're 407 in.
Oh, it kind of concerns me right now. As I'm talking to you, I can smell some alcohol coming off the breath. And
I had some flu and I drank some of that nitrile.
Oh, yeah? When did you do that?
This morning.
Okay.
Yeah, he had some flu and he drank some of that NyQuil. When? This morning. Yeah, there's a reason it's called NyQuil. The nighttime cold relief medicine by Vicks. Unpaid product placement for which we would happily receive compensation but won't. Especially probably. That. Come on. That's what they make the DayQuil for, so that you're not all liquored up when you have to have a conversation with your with your average Oregon State police officer. Had some flu there. As the 15-minute flu, the NyQuil cured it quick as I got a couple of bottles down me. Stuff just writes itself. Gerald says, I'll bet he was guarding that damn Bill O'Reilly when he served in 1979. That was bad old days down in Argentina, Gerald. O'Reilly will never forget him. Stockton Larry asking, where again? Yes, exactly. Tim from L.A. pointing out NyQuil, the so-you-can-rest medicine. Or so-you-can-get-arrested medicine. Like I said, this is a gift that keeps on giving. Hines, Oregon, which is nowhere near Banks, which isn't Burns, which is where this guy was going to go because of that goddamn Muslim piece of shit Obama. Oh, yeah, I can understand that. No, this guy's good. This guy, at the end of the year, they'll probably give him a greatest amount of patience shown a dangerous and possibly seditious drunk, half-crazed, out of his mind. Are we sure it wasn't Hattacol? Yeah. No, I guess they don't even make that stuff anymore. How much alcohol was in Hattacol? Jennifer pointing out, four minutes and 7 seconds in, 3 seconds and Tamir Rice was down and the cop didn't even get out of the cruiser. And see, that's the fun thing. The gun that our freedom protector here has, it's a pellet gun. Not a gun. It's an air gun. Possibly a CO2 gun. But, well, you got these clowns out there apparently wandering around all over the American West. If I was in the shoes of this Oregon State police officer, I would move cautiously, because you never know when there's going to be one of his sniper buddy sovereign citizens over in the bushes with a swirly straw in the industrial sized vat of NyQuil and you know a bench rest and a 30-06 or an AR-15 or what? Oh my God!
All right, how much do you have? Okay, would you be willing to do some close sobriety tests for it? No. No? Why is that?
Would you be willing to do some field sobriety tests for me? No. Why is that? Because I'm a colonel in the United States Army. I guess we've had about enough of this clown. He's 54 years old. And dude had been walking around the Heinz Market saying that he wanted to join the Mueller occupiers. There's that word again. To help with killing federal agents. Joseph A. Stetson had a pellet gun in his belt holster. Maybe we're not done. It gets a little more interesting. Let's skip a bit, brother. Let's go up to the 7-minute mark. I don't think we're going to have to go that far. Okay. that's back.
I'm going to drink some of that NyQuil.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, we're back to drinking the NyQuil.
In the morning. Okay.
You know, we all have to pay the same cost.
I got my...
Okay. And again, I don't want you to... Okay.
No, I'm going for my pocket right
now. Okay. Well, like I said, Yeah. Right now, you're making me a little concerned right now. And I just want to actually... I'm going to clean right now.
I hate it.
I'll kill all of you.
No,
you don't believe me?
I don't think you want to do that.
Let me go.
I don't think you want to do that.
I will. If I go to jail and when I come out, I will kill you.
You don't want to do that. Dang, he's got
I don't give a damn shit about that shit. I'm a Green Beret colonel.
Yeah, we need
a
double.
You damn sons of bitch are freaking Nazi Germany. That's all you are. And I can't be killed anyways.
Come on.
I don't care. You freaking bastards. Hey, trooper.
Yes, sir.
This is a legal freaking arrest. This freaking cop for freaking Nazi Germany, sir. I'm a Green Beret colonel. 1980. I served in Central America. My record was sealed from Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
I'll kill you all, you sons of bitches.
Okay.
Freaking coward sons of bitches.
Let's walk back over here and put my car.
I will kill you, sir.
Don't,
you don't believe
I don't,
me?
I don't
Are you a real state trooper?
No.
Huh?
Why you want to kill me?
I want to talk to state troopers, that's all.
I am. I'm a state police. I'm a state police. Oregon State Police.
Go to hell,
so
sir.
Do you have any other weapons on you?
Sir, go to hell, sir.
No?
I got a bow.
Okay. All right,
put
on your person. Okay. I am just going to pat you down. Right now, make sure.
You know what, you sons of bitches? You know what? You're at least a lethal warrior. I'm going to kill you sons of bitches. You let me go right now, or I'll kill you. I promise you.
So just so you know, you are under arrest for DUI right now.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Okay, I'm just letting you know that. Okay. Come on now, you don't want to do that.
Well, I think, but you get the idea. This is your average sovereign citizen militia type. And besides, I can't be killed. What are you, Hamlet? Or Macbeth? A man not born a woman. Burning wood ain't come to Dunsinane. God damn it. I'll kill you sons of bitches. So I think we're off to a pretty rousing start, don't you? No, I wouldn't do that. Carol was worried. You're not going to rob us of him screaming how he was going to kill all the cops, are you? No, no. Gerald, meanwhile, who came that close. Bunch of goddamn Nazis is what you are on the outside. Gerald got very close, but no pool winner yet so far. Gerald noting, I'll bet if he'd been a black Green Beret colonel, he would have been killed. Yeah, me too. I was all so special ops, black ops, airborne, Long Kong, bang, dang, it was all hush, hush. Robert in Australia, because remember, he's got a bow. You got any more weapons? I got a bow. I wonder how many times, Robert asks, this clod has seen Rambo First Blood. Wolverines! One of these days, one of these jackasses is going to scream Wolverines on the way into the cruiser. And that's when we're going to know. That's when we are absolutely tapped all the way down into the mother lode of the zeitgeist. Stephen, New York, that guy, I confess, this disgusts the hell out of me. Why? Because no minority would have gotten away with his or her life in this situation. Bingo. Roger asks, is it my imagination or did their movement only pick up steam after the news of the dildo plethora and 55-gallon drum got out? Oh, no, it was gathering steam long before then. The people have been wanting... No, there's no relation. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, Vietnam. And a YouTube link. I don't know what that is, Ron. You got to give a guy a clue. And just for geographical purposes, Gene lets us know, News Ninja Gene, Banks is a small town west of Hillsboro where I used to live. Banks is locally infamous for allowing a Walmart in the city limits as well as racist incidents against local Hispanic residents. Banks ain't anywhere near Harney County. It's in Washington County, 8 miles plus from Portland. Banks, Burns, Portland, Hillsboro. It all kind of runs together when you've got that 15-second flu that requires treatment with 3 bottles of your NyQuil so you can get some rest medicine. Meanwhile, going back to Alyssa Rosenberg, Roger in Oregon says, Alyssa doth objecting too much? You fail to see through her feint. She wants to offend all those generous folks and get included on their mailing list and ride the bounty. Apparently too shy to buy. That was cold. Going back again to the opening story, could Rosenberg have written this article just to elicit controversial reactions and get some PR since she's recently gotten a new gig? Yeah, the word we're looking for there, Jack, is clickbait. Ron and Raleigh asks, she calls this sexual harassment? I think throwing these shitheels into Gen Pop in a high-security hoosegow with Big Lou and the boys dressed in pink jumpsuits might be sexual harassment. Roger also points out Ammonium and Company are going to start a monthly newsletter in honor of the Oregon State tree from which paper pulp can be made, the Douglas fir. They are going to name it the Fir Sedition News. Fir Sedition News. Yeah. Meanwhile, Gerald asks, didn't the original TV show The Dukes of Hazzard carry around bows with dynamite? I think so. Using bows because of their probation or some shit. So bows and dynamite are allowed when paroled, but guns are not. Gotcha. Hey, it's firearms, right? Yeah. So I think, like I said, I think we are off to an admirable start for this evening's Titanic Tuesday, and we've got lots more stuff to work with. Oh, yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. It is also a Tuesday, so that means that we have the Green News Report coming up with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. We always enjoy it. At least I do, and I don't get any emails saying, God damn, Bob, please, quit running that. Everybody else runs it, too. I like my Tuesdays and Thursdays with the Green News Report. I really, really do. So we got that coming up. And well, let's see. Let's just, like I said, take a little break and come back. If you want to get involved in the conversation, if you've got an example of Titanic intellect to share, you know the numbers, 304-574-8178, otherwise known as Line 1, and 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, that's the stress line, Line 2. And, of course, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And that'll get you into the program from just about anywhere on the planet. Meanwhile, Jennifer points out it took less time than was expended on Green Beret Colonel Joseph Stetson and his pellet gun. It took less time and far fewer words to kill Brown, Michael, Christian Taylor, Eric Garner, Freddie Gray, Jordan Davis, Kendra Chapman, Jermaine McBean, Renisha McBride, Samuel DeBose, Tamir Rice, and Trayvon Martin. Oh, but see, we've got to treat these patriots with extra special due caution care because Well, the hell's the point of having white privilege if you don't get your white privilege, right? Yeah. So we've got $280 to raise this evening, $40 of that. The first 40 that comes in will be matched by Tracy. And if that happens, then we've just got $200 to go. And it'd be awfully nice not to crawl into a hole this early in the week and, well, as we approach the end of the month of January. Thanks one and all. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tuesday, January 26, 2016.
Yeah, well, you know, this storm actually is overperforming.
Winter Storm Jonas, or Blizzard 2016, cripples the East Coast.
Snow falling at the rate of 3 to 5 inches an hour there's little doubt in my mind that this storm was juiced.
And yes, it was turbocharged by global warming. Obama's landmark clean power plan survives its first court challenge. New rules to curb methane emissions for drillers and frackers. Plus, China overtakes Germany as the solar leader of the world.
Take me to your solar leader. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We are conducting an experiment on not only the atmosphere, but the oceans, and hoping that everything turns out okay.
Oh, silly meteorologist, what do you think you can do? Predict the future? Oh, wait. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, well, for once, we had a monster storm that lived up to its name across a whole swath of the East, and it looks like, once again, climate change was behind it.
Yep, millions of people are still digging out from the Great Blizzard of 2016, also known as Winter Storm Jonas, if you watch the Weather Channel.
I don't.
The historic storm dumped 3 to 4 feet of snow across parts of the eastern U.S., a season's worth of snow in just one storm, crippling major cities, killing 30 people, and bringing with it a huge storm surge along the eastern seaboard. Jonas broke the record for the biggest one-day snowfall for New York City. Washington, D.C. saw its second largest snowfall on record. According to meteorologist Paul Douglas on the broadcast, record warm ocean temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean was the fuel that turbocharged this storm.
Because we had a record warm year in 2015, because December was staggeringly warm out east, the water was even warmer. And this was the equivalent of pouring rocket fuel on a Bic lighter. Once the nor'easter did start to spin up, it intensified into a bomb that was able to suck all this additional Atlantic moisture inland and hurl it at New York and Philly and Washington and all points in between.
Well, I'd like to hurl something at Washington, D.C., at least at this point. And I should note, Paul Douglas, the veteran meteorologist, is a Republican and an evangelical Christian, and he is trying like hell to get his Republican Christian colleagues to start taking action on this climate crisis.
And in fact, as Douglas mentioned, the world's oceans are warming at an increasingly faster rate, according to a new study from Lawrence Livermore National Lab in California. The amount of man-made heat energy absorbed by the oceans has doubled since 1997. Put another way, that means that half of all man-made heat that's been absorbed by the ocean has occurred since just the year 2000.
Amazing.
Meanwhile, the Obama administration has released new draft rules to cut methane emissions from the oil and gas extracted from public lands. Right now, drillers are allowed to waste much of the gas that they produce by flaring or burning off excess natural gas on site without paying royalties to the public. These new rules, which will go through a public comment period, will require drillers and frackers to plug leaks of methane, a potent greenhouse gas, install equipment to capture the leaked gas, and increase the royalties that they pay for extracting that fuel from the public's property.
Gentlemen, start your lawsuits.
Well, speaking of lawsuits, President Obama's landmark Clean Power Plan, the first ever emission standards for power plants, has survived its first legal hurdle. A coalition of major utilities and Republican state attorneys general have sued to halt any movement on these new standards while it's under litigation. But that move was soundly rejected by the D.C. Court of Appeals. That leaves the new standards in place, meaning that states must continue to implement the Clean Power Plan in the meantime. This is only the first legal hurdle. Many more are to come.
No doubt.
And now a new study finds that the U.S. can't cut its greenhouse gas emissions by nearly 80% over the next 15 years and at a cost much less than previously predicted using existing technology. That's according to researchers at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They say that because the cost of wind and solar has fallen much faster than expected, rapid deployment of wind and solar plus upgrading our aging electric grid would not only cut U.S. emissions by as much as 80%, but would ultimately save U.S. consumers $42 billion every year.
Yeah, well, it might save U.S. consumers that, but it won't save the owners of the fossil fuel companies, and we all know they're in charge.
Finally, China has now overtaken Germany as the solar leader of the world. According to greentechmedia.com, China has been investing upwards of $150 billion a year in mass deployment of wind and solar energy resources, more than twice what the U.S. invests year over year. China increased its deployment of solar panels more than 40% over last year alone, making it the solar leader, surpassing even Germany for the amount of full installed solar capacity.
Oh, don't tell the Republicans. They said that China would never stop burning coal. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yes, indeedy. 21 minutes past the hour for this Titanic Tuesday, the 26th of January, 2016. And we are off and running. Thanks going out to Jeremy for getting started. Jeremy turned 10 into 20 thanks to Tracy's challenge. And thanks to Gerald. Gerald turned $13.73 into $27.46 thanks to Tracy's challenge. So that means there remains, oh, Jesus. Yeah, Gerald, you know, this is a hell of a thing to do just because I didn't let you win the pool there. Look, it's not my fault that former Army Green Beret Colonel Joseph Stetson, who fought the Contras and the 5-minute flu with three bottles of NyQuil. It's not my fault that he didn't say Hitler. Oh, 722. Gerald. Well, that's how that works. Yeah, because see that means that there is 2373 so 16. There's $16.27 remaining on Tracy's challenge, and beyond that the usual evening's raising of $200. So hopefully we will take care of that, and I will pay a bill immediately after the program. Yay, hooray, won't that be a happy thing? Yes, as a matter of fact, it will. PayPal interface, headonradionetwork.com, contribute tab, get to the next screen, boom, done. Yeah. So what did I say? $16.27 remain on Tracy's challenge, and then $200 to go from there. Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, Gerald. Thank you very kindly. And let's run over to the Skype line where, lo and behold, yay verily, live from Oregon, it's the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
How does the day find you?
It finds me gagging on coal smoke because my neighbors come back home to throw a few lumps on the fireplace and. But, you know, it's not nearly as frigid as it was, so I can't complain too much. At least I haven't had to chug down two or three bottles of NyQuil yet, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm just finding out about this. I'm just coming in late. I mean, after the sumo wrestling thing, you know, I saw a photograph.
There's one a day, Angry. There's one a day.
I saw a photograph of that. I didn't know what it was connected to. I thought it was just one of these silly memes, and I let it go. I didn't realize there was a video attached. I didn't realize that Chris Christie was named. You know, the idea of a white supremacist who's into sumo, you know, it's just all of it.
You can't make it up. You cannot make it up. Has the world gone mad?
Yes, it has, because I'm looking at photographs of the Harney County Sheriff and the fucking FBI shaking hands with a fucking domestic terrorist, and they're not taking him into custody, and he's making up what rules he'll follow, what laws he'll follow, which government he will recognize, what he will do, as the Paiute Nation representatives have recently told the press, even though those of us around here already knew this, and it's lighting fire in Indian country. These fuckers are going back and forth as they want. This has been common knowledge for a while. But after the threats, after the, you know, dismissal. Well, oh, well.
But remember, I mean, ammonium nitrate Bundy has explained what he's willing to do that will end the standoff. You know, if the government will just surrender peacefully, they'll leave. If the government will just abandon the Wildlife Refuge and maybe hand over title to, oh, I don't know, Yellowstone or maybe some canyon in Utah, everything will be good again.
For them.
Well, they're all that matters.
Well, see, that's what's getting me. You know, there's a real problem, and I'm going to have something out about it tomorrow because as I'm looking at this and trying to be current, I mean, the craziness is nonstop. You know, where is the stopping point with this? Where is the stopping point with the fucking authorities? You know, you have to wonder, as a person of color, who's really down with this? Who's serving in fucking positions of goddamn political influence here? We already know that the GOP and Trump are down with this because Trump's campaign manager is over there. After his wife was caught lying, making a fool of herself on CNN, well, I never got into politics before Trump, while she's a sitting New Hampshire goddamn representative who is a birther, who is against women's rights, who is against multiculturalism. Her and her husband are fucking extremists, but her extremist husband is a campaign head for Donald Trump's fucking campaign. The same campaign, oh, well, we didn't understand when our intern, because it's always an intern's fault, you know, uses Nazi imagery with the American flag. That was just a mistake. And, you know, we're not really, you know, accepting, even though we're not rejecting the support we get from Dr. David Duke, that we get from Stormfront.org, that we get from Andrew Anglin and all of the other white supremacists out there. You know, we're okay with that. We're okay with the fucking Bundy terrorism. You know, we're about law and order when it comes to niggers and spics and immigrants, if they speak Spanish or something other than fucking English, right? We're okay with this. But when a bunch of fucking jerks, and I mean this, quote me, because I already heard that they heard my show about it and they don't fucking like it. And I'm glad. Quote me on this. These motherfuckers are getting away with this. Yes, it's because they're white. And yes, it's because they got guns. But they're getting away with this because the majority of the motherfucking American population goddamn agrees with it. And Danny DeVito, of all fucking people, came out and said, well, look, we're dealing with all kinds of bullshit. And I'm sure he was including Oregon when he was talking about this, because the fucking country's racist.
Yeah, but he got called out on Fox. They said he was just too short to see it.
Yeah, well, see, look, I mean, we're talking about fucking Fox News, who, when you try to explain to one of these goddamn diddleheads, for until it was exposed and people started paying attention to it, 48 goddamn percent, at some points 49 fucking percent of Fox News, of the entire fucking bullshit behind Rupert Murdoch, his main partner was a Saudi fucking prince. The entire time while they were dismissing Muslims and Islam and blah, 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 and everybody's a Sharia, and they're freaking out in goddamn Oklahoma and passing laws against Sharia, you know, but they want to, you know, biblical fucking Sharia, right? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Here's a Muslim who owns half of fucking Fox. You go on Free Republic, you'll see it in the fucking archives. They didn't want to believe it. They refused to fucking accept it.
Prince bin Talal al-Walid, is that it?
Yeah, the same one who's been connected to supporting financially fucking terrorism, like Bandar Bush.
Yeah, the tentacles run deep. Hey, you're familiar with a lot of these right wing clowns. Angry, are you familiar with William Mount?
Can't say I am.
Well, we've got a new Lulu to add to the list. This is Titanic in the extreme. Sparky sent this along to me on Facebook. I'm going to run the audio, and I'll leave the screaming to you, okay? Just stand by a sec. We're going to roll. You're going to love this. The title of this is Hammond Ranch Attack Planned by 2 February. it was posted on January 21st of this year. Now, Hammond Ranch, are they calling the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge? Are they calling it the Hammond Ranch now? I don't know. I mean, there's nobody at the Hammond Ranch except maybe like Ma Hammond, right?
Mm.
Okay, so look, hockey puck advisories apply to you too, Angry. I mean, they just do. So, and everybody else. And this is a four or five strips of duct tape affair. Okay, here we go. William Mount, Hammond Ranch attack planned by 2 February. You're not going to be okay. But this is the sort of thing that, and some of the grifters are trying to sort of bootstrap their grift onto another grift. And, you know, grift is at the heart of this because, of course, the ammonium nitrate Bundy and his daddy Cloven and Ryan Bundy, they're all looking for free stuff, namely free grazing rights and free timbering and free drilling and free mining. Right? So here we go.
Hello, it's 21 January 2016, and we have had report after report after report from people that believe that they think that the Hammond Ranch shooting will begin by 2 February. Let me explain. The FBI and CIA, which do not have human souls in them and hate you and they want you dead, have infiltrated all of the groups that claim to be patriots. And someone from within inside a Patriot group will shoot at an FBI agent who's been designated to be shot at. And he'll use a low-powered round that hits the bulletproof vest, he'll go down, and then we're going to have another Waco, Texas. Obama, whichever Obama, I think we're on number 3 now, will then order the FEMA camps to be opened and the schools to be closed, and many of the schools will be used as FEMA camps. This is what we're hearing. We do know that this part is true. He'll begin the gun confiscation, the FEMA camps, the red, blue, green, yellow lists, whatever. If you're a patriot, they will arrest you, they will seize everything you own, and even if you go back to your home, it'll be abandoned. This is some evil stuff. Now, Ashtar Command has promised to come down here and fix everything when things get hot, and I don't know what you call that hydrogen bomb explosion in North Korea. One of the bombs that Obama gave North Korea, that seems to be pretty hot to me. Their command ship is now over Dyer Bay in Canada. It's moved from Yellowknife. So you might want to move your little fighters and flying saucers to go over there. But you already fired 2 nuclear warheads at it with 12 warheads apiece, and it just absorbed them. What are you going to do? We have unconfirmed reports. We know that there was a nuclear weapon found on the 17th of December. We gave the license number back in September, and they found it.
Because nuclear weapons
have license
plates.
The next day, Obama had a press conference. And after the press conference, we're getting reports that there was a heck of a bash. Well, the bash was, from what we've been told by 2 different sources, but we have no confirmation, that Obama was taken on the Ashtar command ship and given certain orders. He came down and tried to implement them, and people from underground came up and just shot everybody in the White House who followed Obama, because Obama had gone insane at that point, because nobody's listening to Obama. He's just a figurehead. His handlers don't even listen to him. He's a moron. He smoked dope as a kid.
Well,
General Joseph
it.
Dunford, and he's married, and I still call him a girly boy, because he doesn't do what's right. He said he would take the White House over and reestablish the Republic. Well, General Dunford, you're a wimp and a coward and a traitor. How's that? You are a wimp and a coward and a traitor, along with the other Joint Chiefs of Staff. If anybody out there in Boogie Boogie Land thinks that the Joint Chiefs of Staff are going to do anything correct, forget it. They've even got Spetsnaz forces, Russian yeah. Special Forces, at the Hammond Ranch. We have Chinese troop carriers. In Vancouver, we have 215,000 Chinese troops, 18 million Muslims, and 30 million illegal aliens that the FBI freaks, the girly boys in the FBI, who are too afraid to do what's right in the eyes of...
Now, understand, he throws out a limp wrist and shimmies his hips. I don't know if the guy who wrote the sports story about the NFC Championship knows about this shimmying, but, oh, my God, every time he mentions, the girly boys.
God. And that doesn't mean they're gay. It means they're little girly boys. It means they have no guts. They're walk-ins. They're demons. They hate us. They want us dead. They've armed them. We're surrounded. The FBI is killing Americans, and they think it's fun. General Joseph Dunford, you are a traitor. Unconfirmed reports said he arrested George W. Bush Sr. in Paraguay. George W. Bush Sr. died. Well, I think we're on his third or fourth double. So that's a total General Dunford lie.
Goddamn pods under the bed, you know.
He is a liar. If you think the CIA or the FBI or Dunford is going to take orders from some boogeyman out in outer space or from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forget it. They work for Lucifer. They're sellouts. And if Putin was so great, why does he have Spetsnaz forces here, and why won't he cash a bond for one of the members of his own royalty as an ambassador? He's a sellout. All you Christian prophets who claim that Putin is the savior of the day, you're not listening to God. He's a sellout. His staff is a sellout. If they weren't a sellout, they would fix things because they were given the process to fix their own economy, and their people are on subsistence wages. You should go there. They make $200 a month, plus they have a free apartment. That's not helping the people. We know that the first Obama died in China. We know he died in Detroit. The police was completely immobilized. We're hearing that the second Obama died during a shootout at the White House after the press conference. But we don't know. We have a couple of confirmations on that, but we don't know. So the third Obama's in charge. The first Obama had warts here, or had little black spots, and a wart here. The second Obama has a wart here and black spots here. The third Obama has a wart here and no black spots. What happened to the black spots? The fourth Obama has a wart here. The fifth Obama has a wart here. The sixth Obama has no wart, and he has a ginormous scar across the back of his head. We've showed you that a dozen times.
And this and this little Obama went wee all the way home.
Oh.
We don't know what's real. I mean, look at the Wall Street Journal. Think about this.
Which is owned by Murdoch, you
wanker. 20% based on growth fears. We're going to grow so the stocks collapse. Do they really think you're going to buy it? Slide cools off luxury property boom. Have you been on Zillow lately and looked at homes over $2 million apiece?
No, not really, because, I mean, no, that wasn't one of the things I did while the Powerball was at $1.5 billion. No, I didn't, but, oh, my God, angry. This goes on for another 5 minutes or so. You know, I mean, the toaster goes out to Sparky for finding this and sending it along.
Yeah, thank you, Sparky, because, The United States needs to hear this.
Almost 9,000 views on YouTube. I mean, granted, I know YouTube, you know, you can get a million views of a kitten playing with a ball of yarn. But you know, Carol says he needs an HBO stand-up special. Gerald, on the other hand, says, help me out here. Which Obama is the Muslim, the first one or the third one? I'm confused. Conspiracies are hard. And Jennifer in Australia, wait, how many Obamas? Because they all look alike, right? Oh, my God, this man is so unwell. I've lost count of the delusions. Carol says, no, I'm sending Sparky a toaster oven with dual settings. Hell yes.
As my sainted aunt would say, or would have said, really. And I say this with all due respect to her memory. It's just, you know, this type of madness. You know, she's just been like, you know, the Lord blesses the stupid. Because how else would they make it? You know, I'm paraphrasing. Because it's like, how, we're on Obama number three. So it's not even that he was born in Kenya or born in Indonesia.
He's not even real. He's a lizard person, a mole person.
Oh,
they put the goddamn pod under his bed, and he gets up, and he, Leonard Nimoy in black and white, and oh my God.
And Trump represents all of this, but the main guy, and I've been saying this, and somebody got angry with me not too long ago for saying this out loud. And he's like, I think you're full of shit. Because evidently he listens to the fucking show, right? He's one of these fucking libertarians here in Portlandia. I said that you and I called out this bullshit in Oregon damn near 2 weeks, a fucking fortnight before it actually went down. More than that, probably, because I actually used it in a dispatch.
Yeah.
You and I called this because we were talking about the fucking Oath Keepers and how Trump, you know, was allowing, you know, David Duke and Stormfront, you know, especially, and what were the other one, the Daily Stormer, to fucking endorse him, and he doesn't call him out on this shit. He embraced it. Then it came out that his father was down with the Klan. He was okay with that. You know, no problems. No problems. He's got Mike Tyson fucking endorsing him now. Which, you know, shouldn't mean any goddamn thing other than the fact that a lot of fucking people on the street, you know, listen to everything he fucking says. You know, the folks who think that melanin makes black people superior to all other, you know, races and shit, they like Trump. You know, and what's worse, they think that he came from nothing. I tried to explain to two of these.
No. That's just not what. Donald Trump was born a poor black child. What?
Hey, Mike Tyson. I actually made a tweet about this because I found it on YouTube accidentally. Made the comment to whoever the fuck he was speaking to that, you know, you got to admire Trump. You know, he came from nothing. You know, he worked his way up from Queens. Because he's from New York City, too. But I don't, a different part. But, you know, he's from New York, too. So he's got the idea that, you know, the same way that a lot of these goddamn neoconservatives think. My experience is the only motherfucking experience. So I grew up without a fucking dime. So, you know, he must not have had anything either. And he just somehow worked his way up the fucking food chain. And he got what he got. He knows nothing about his goddamn dad basically giving him the motherfucking money on a no-interest goddamn loan. And the fact that he was raised in a household with a father that made money, who could casually over breakfast, lunch, and dinner say, look, man, this is how I made my last fucking $20,000. This is how this shit is done. See, Tyson, on the other hand, was raised without a goddamn father in a house full of fucking kids where they had different goddamn fathers, where they sat around and said, hey, this is how I scammed somebody out of some money the other motherfucking day by selling some goddamn dope. That's the education that he got. So in his twisted motherfucking mind, and I'm not saying this because I think that he's necessarily stupid, because he is, but because, you know, he's just like every other goddamn conservative, regardless of their fucking ethnicity or their nationality. The way I see the world is the way I see the motherfucking world. I can't see any further than that. So you must fucking think the way I do. And if I like you, it's because I think that somehow you came up the way I did. Trump and is doing the same fucking thing that Romney did. I'm working class like you. I'm a working stiff. And there were people who believed that bullshit about Romney. There are people who still believe that about Romney. And there are black folks who believe that about Trump. They don't know a fucking thing about his pedigree. They don't know that his mother's a fucking...
But they can't, they can't even be a more than a statistical anomaly, Angry. They just can't.
I beg to differ. When we talk about black folks, for the most part... Just like when we talk about any fucking, you know, ethnic group, any particular demographic or dermographic, depending on how you want to take it, right?
Nice, you know, we word. We tend to look,
I've used it before, you know, we tend to look at what we want to see. So we look at Malcolm X, we look at Dr. King, we look at Jesse Jackson, some of us, this, that, and the other. Well, this represents us. We don't talk about that person that's actually working, living on the street, dealing with life on the street, dealing with the world, dealing with at being of color in this motherfucking society. And the average person out there that is not on the internet because they can't goddamn afford it and don't have the skills if they had a computer, and I'm not trying to diss anybody, I'm being fucking real. I'm talking about what the fuck is really happening out here. Because I try to help people as much as I can.
I understand. I understand. And I don't think I've ever gotten a Dios mío out of you before, Angry. I mean, this is kind of a red letter program. And what people need to understand is this isn't just a little bit of nothing. Okay, 8,991 views. Okay, no big deal. Obama orders, by the same guy, William Mount. Obama orders 250 million Americans killed this year. 13 minutes and 19 seconds, 148,235 views. And I don't think those are all just ironic hipsters, you know, watching him for the gooning. I'm looking at the comments section here. Not trying to be mean, but you lost me at Ashtar Command. Please ask Father to reveal his truth to you through Holy Spirit. Be not deceived, brother. You are consorting with demons. In all you're getting, get wisdom. I lift you both up to Christ Jesus. You both seem to be you seem to really care about people and want to help. That is clear. Please seek until you clearly hear from Father on this matter. I ask because I care. And let's see. Here's one. Which Queen of England gave the Christmas speech? Nothing is real in this guy's world, and yet, I had a little training once upon a time. There was some background in sociology and archaeology and anthropology, and so I look at things other than the person speaking in the video. He's got himself one of those tripod dry erase boards, and he's written, you know, Hammond Ranch shooting to begin by 2 February, and then he's made notes all the way down it. But it's sitting in front of what appears to be a pretty high-quality solid wood kitchen hutch with a lot of painted porcelain, sort of Amish-looking porcelainware on it. The little bit that you see, I'm pretty sure this is not the interior of a mental institution. He's reasonably well dressed, and I don't know. I mean, and yet, I mean, do his neighbors? Because you know this guy can't keep his mouth shut about this stuff. You know, he goes down to the Rippy Mart, the third Obama got called up to the ship at Ashtar Command that's hovering in geosynchronous orbit, and. What do you want to bet, Angry? This guy's a gun owner.
Oh, hell yeah, he's the gun owner. But see, again, the same folks that I'm talking about in the black community, they're gun owners too. They believe in this sovereign citizen bullshit. I cut a lot of people off a few years ago because of this. You know, I'm just like, this is bullshit.
Well, you just got a note in from Tracy, Angry, and she said, preach, Angry. It's like what I said last night. It's not the people talking that I'm worrying about. It's the people listening.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to admit, you know, there's an ideological conflict in the black community, and I'm not trying to air dirty laundry, but this needs to be discussed. You know, okay, for example, matter of fact, this is typical of what the fuck I'm talking about. Alex Jones just recently interviewed Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for the Nation of Islam in a two-part major fucking interview. Now, we're talking about Alex Jones, who after Y2K, nobody should fucking take seriously. He made it out that the entire fucking nation was under lockdown and that we were under nuclear attack.
America under siege. Yeah. So this guy here, Angry, this William Mount character, at one point, okay, so he's got Earth now plunging into Ice Age. And that's had 6,000 views. And lo and behold, there's an Alex Jones channel. Putin declares war on the Luciferians. 293,877 views. Putin to plunge world into depression. William Mount, 19,636 views. But this one caught my eye, and I'm going to go back to him for just a minute because I want to hear. I want this, you know, because we do food porn on the program from time to time. Angry, and. This might be worth it. Apple blueberry bars thrive 12. The note with the video says, incredibly easy and no mess dessert. While you sit in a blizzard with closed grocery stores, UPS delivered our food. No empty grocery store shelves here. And he's pitching some prepper survivalist outfit. Aha, here we go. Let's see. Because...
Hello, it's 21 January 2016, and tonight we are cooking apple blueberry bars. While you are sitting in a blizzard, well, a man-made blizzard, I might say, in almost all of the eastern United States, and you can go to the...
It kind of had to be, didn't it? It had to be a man-made blizzard.
chemtrails, God.
In maps and realized it's a man-made blizzard. We picked up the phone and Thrive delivered our food for us. We don't have to go to the grocery store and wait in lines. In fact...
Wait a minute! The missus is running camera for him! She just panned over to the rest of the kitchen. This is a nice place, and they're ordering their prepper food. I can't wait for the recipe. Can you, Angry?
We have a wood stove going, and we can cook anything we want because Thrive only has to be heated up. So in the middle of a blizzard, guess who comes? Thrive with their change. Tonk, 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 tonk. You, via UPS, you pick up the phone, you order food. ThriveLife.com, and the food comes. UPS will deliver because they make money on deliveries. They don't sit around like the government agencies. They make money on this, so they're out there delivering your food while you're sitting at home. Make sure you let the UPS driver use your bathroom and give him some hot cocoa because he is worth his weight in gold in an emergency. So we cooked some apple blueberry bars, and Jane's going to show exactly how she did this.
Jane.
Now, Jane, this is now you can find this if you go to recipes, you go to orderfood.thrivelife.com, you go to recipes, and then the desserts.
I'm sending them a bill for these ads, but I think we're going to hear from Jane.
Yeah, under the desserts.
So why wait in stores before a blizzard? Just pick up the phone and call, and just, you don't even have to do that. Orderfood.thrivelife.com. Guess what? You get home, everybody's at the grocery store panicking, buying water. Why you would buy water when it's snowing, I don't know. Buying all kinds of...
Yeah, you drink that stuff, William, the melted snow. Yeah, I love the mercury flavor.
The bread that dies when we have food that's delivered to us that'll sit in our house for 25 years and still be good. Or we can open it up and it lasts for about a year. Now, why would I want to buy a loaf of bread that goes bad in 4 days and put it in the refrigerator?
Jesus, if you open it up and it lasts for about a year, how many preservatives are in that, Angry?
I don't know. I can only imagine what his Kool-Aid recipe must fucking be like.
Oh, my God. Apparently he hasn't caught the Jim Baker commercials for the big bucket o' potato soup or the giant bucket o' pudding.
No, but on a serious note, though, on a serious note, he's not alone.
No.
And I have to say this. And people are going to be angry about this because, again, I'm going to be accused of airing dirty laundry. But there's a large segment of the black community in the United States, and now it has creeped over to Africa, and it's been part of what's been going on in the Caribbean, which to some degree you can actually argue where a lot of these attitudes came from. You know, black Americans usually, you know, after the slavery experience, are usually pretty, you know, socially liberal. You know, I mean, very much Eisenhower Republican thinking, fiscally conservative, didn't really spend money. You didn't flash your money or you shouldn't. But socially, you need to leave people alone, let them live their life. You only got one. That has changed since the 70s. You have black power. You had the idea of machismo. They've taken our manhood. We have to take it back. That was a factor. I'm not disagreeing with that because there's a lot of reality in that. But since there's been no intellectual, you know, discipline, there's been no fucking cultural discipline, really, in the political sense, in the social sense, in terms of the gender. I mean, when you look at the same thing can be said about the black with the Zapatistas as can be said about the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. They were extremely sexist when they started. So was the American Indian Movement. But because of the structure of these organizations, the revolutionary structure of these organizations, they realized, because the women struggled intellectually within these organizations, they had to change their viewpoints. They had to adapt and had to realize that a lot of the bullshit that they were carrying on in terms of sexism, in terms of misogyny, in terms of gender bias, in terms of homophobia, had more to do with the colonial experience than it did to do with them as being human beings within their own environments. Now, when you look at these fucking jerks that are up here in Oregon, and now, as you say, not too fucking far from where I'm laying, right? You know, because they're trying to spread this motherfucking revolution here. There are, you know, there was a segment of the African population that we call Hoteps, and it's not a term of endearment. These are the folks that believe that melanin makes black people superior to Europeans and Asians, everybody. They take, you know, the out of Africa, not theory, fact now. They take that and then stretch it to where, you know, Europeans have never actually done anything but rip off, you know, white people. Now, of course, there's some truth to that. But you have Asians in Mongolia that have their own form of fascism against the Chinese like this. You know, pretty much, how can I put this? George Orwell made it clear. When Jack London was talking about the oncoming of fascism in The Iron Heel, for those of you who are literary folks, you remember this. Jack London was an American socialist, but he was also a fucking hardcore racist. He was a socialist.
Oh, all the way to the bone.
All the way to the bone. You know, but here's what's funny, though, because I've written about this. It's in Efforts for Fascism. Motherfucking, as racist as he was, he still had his mammy, the black woman who raised him, who he took care of financially for the rest of her natural life. And when she passed away, he was depressed for fucking months.
Winston Churchill mourned the passing of his nanny, a poor English woman whom he referred to as Woom, W-O-O-M, to the end of his days. I mean, we run across a little bit of sketchy ground. I mean, George Washington was a racist. Thomas Jefferson was a racist. James Madison was a racist. And they were all sexist as hell, too. Hence the fact that while the slave population gets counted as three-fifths of a human being for apportionment purposes in the South so that they could have something approaching parity in the House of Representatives, women get counted, but beyond that, zip, zilch, nada. So, and I'm not giving him a pass, Angry.
No, I'm not giving him a pass at all, but it's leading into what I'm getting ready to talk about.
Okay.
There's been some weird fucking fingers that have been moving around on the hard left. I'm talking about the hard motherfucking left. Now, I've already seen it from the center left, but now the fucking hard left. I mean, even to the point where the militant.com, most people who are socialists know the fucking Militant. This is considered the New York fucking Times of the socialist world in the United States. And they are supporting the fucking actions in Oregon. They demand that the Hammonds be freed. And they're 100% behind open land use. The way that these fuckers are laying this out from that, what was that crazy fucker's name? I can't remember right now because it's an odd name. The one who, Skousen, the one who rewrote the fucking Constitution to fit his particular fucking group of white folks. Cleon Skousen, is that his name?
That would be our boy, yep.
Yeah, right? So, you know, the socialists, the hard left is supporting this. There are people who are out here doing articles that are on Huffington Post talking about, well, Trump isn't really a fascist. He's close, but he's really not a fascist because he's involving himself within the democratic process. And I'm thinking, now, wait a goddamn minute. These are supposedly professional fucking journalists. I'm just a goddamn hack from Portlandia who writes about indigenous issues. But even I realized that fucking Mussolini and Hitler and Metahas got into fucking office through the vote. This is not like the Spanish Civil fucking War where there was a conflict after an election. They got in through the fucking vote. So, yeah, we can lay on the Reichstag fire and we can just talk about how Mussolini was a fucking thug. But the bottom fucking line is we've seen this goddamn show before. We've seen this before. And white people, I'm saying this because this is the middle, is still in fucking denial about not just his fucking history, because we just finished talking about Danny DeVito, but the fucking point that, you know, here it is, you can't have a goddamn Donald Trump rally without somebody getting beaten up or fucking thrown out. People are still being assaulted, and they're still telling the goddamn cops, well, Trump said we got to do this. And white folks are still in fucking denial, and so is the fucking left wing, to the point where they're demanding. That's exactly what the Militant is saying here. It's written by Naomi Crane. they're demanding that the fucking Hammonds be freed and that, you know, fuck the Paiute Indians. Give this shit to the farmers so that we can level things out because the government is bad and blah, 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 blah. That's the position that we're fucking in today. That we're more worried about the motherfucking Oscars not, you know, mixing it up a fucking little bit like Sundance. And, you know, and black folks who are on the far fucking right within the black community who are okay with Alex Jones interviewing Louis Farrakhan, who, you know, has introduced Scientology into the Nation of Islam, which is another goddamn question that needs to be asked. Because, you know, I mean, this is fascism. You know, I've never not said that the NOI is fascist. You know, people are, oh, well, they're terrorists. No, they're not terrorists. But they're fucking fascists for goddamn sure. They've just adopted Scientology. The leader of Scientology was a fucking racist. You know, H. Ron Hubbard, besides the fact that he was a practicing fucking Satanist, and you just heard it from this moron over here in Oregon talking about Satan. They talk about Satan all goddamn day long in the motherfucking Nation of Islam.
Oh,
and here they are.
Well, right, because that makes it easy. That makes it easy. I mean, Tracy wrote again a few minutes ago, and she said, angry, please air out the laundry. It's funky foul, and it needs to be cleaned. Well, I've dug around a little bit while we've been talking. Our boy here, William Mount, apparently heads up something called the wait a second, American Patriot Friends Network.
Okay, I've heard of them. I didn't know about him. They have a show on IceCast. Those of you who are a little more internet radio savvy know what I'm talking about. You can still get, when I occasionally play William Pierce recordings, the fucker that wrote the Turner Diaries that you and I have talked about here, that is also at the basis of what the fuck we're seeing go on with, you know, with these different courts and bullshit, and the sheriff not goddamn showing up because they're talking about arresting the fucking sheriff. What the fuck is going on? But William Pierce, you can still find his shit in a bunch of other goddamn neo-Nazis and their form of neo-Nazi rock and roll music they took from black folks, like the jujitsu that they took from the fucking Japanese that they hate so goddamn much. These hypocrites, they can go on internet radio and espouse this shit all the fucking way they want. There are
And apparently people are out there watching him. Apparently there's a Fundy index. I had no idea. Here's a quote. Here's a quote from him. Goes back a couple of years. And this isn't just goofing, okay? I promise I didn't honk up a big blast on the aquarium pump bong and turn the microphone on, although I can imagine this could be pretty fun if one did. There's a nexus between this fundamental religious thing. And in conjunction with that, angry, let's mention that Jerry Falwell Jr. today endorsed Donald Trump, and Bob Vanderplatz and the other fundies said, "Well, how dare you? He's not a Christian." You know, that shrieky woman from the "Not a Christian," dork-sided, but so Falwell endorsed Trump. And I just thought, and it just dawned on me when I saw a post about it. I said, yeah, down there in some quarter of hell, Jerry Falwell Sr. just spit the apple out of his mouth while he was turning on the spit and said, "That's my boy. It sure worked for me when we were going broke when I went to the Reverend Moon." Because Jerry Falwell did. Jerry Falwell got in bed with the Reverend Moon to save his weirdo right-wing fundy law school there at Falwell University.
Well, Reverend Moon was a fucking close friend of the Bush family.
Yes, he was. And so the larger point, you know, there really is. There's a nexus between these fundamentalists and these people who follow a constitution that exists only in their heads. And so going back to apparently 2013, here's this William Mount character who refers to himself, by the way, as Dr. William Mount.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Yeah.
"Father, I personally place before your throne," and that would be for a PhD to say T-H-R-O-W-N. before you're thrown for immediate judgment in accordance with capital, all caps, your, capital W written, capital word, paren Torah. And see, that more cultural appropriation. This guy's no more Jewish than I'm the Dalai goddamn Lama, okay? Pistol-packing U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein for her blatant violations of her oath to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. She is not only spearheading, spear and heading being separate words, the elimination of the Second Amendment, but also voting for a bill to reduce veterans' pension amounts. Veterans' pension amounts are all capitalized, which is strictly forbidden under her oath of capital O office. This guy's like a partial German with the nouns. Let her own words be her judgment. Father, I also do the same for U.S. Senator Max Baucus from Montana for all of the above, but also for not acting on the Mortgage Debt Relief Extension Act, which is not only in capital V violation to your word, but the laws Max Baucus has sworn to uphold. Father, we wait for your judgments to be carried out. Please pray that these two, the numeral two, capital S scum, capital B bucket, capital S senator, apostrophe S, are judged by the capital L living, all caps God, immediately in accordance with all caps his word. Oh, God.
Again, you will find this, if you go looking for it, in the poorer areas of the black community, because you don't find it where people are working, where folks are, you know, able to earn a living, that they're able to get an education where they have a chance, they're able to, you know, find a partner, get married, have a healthy relationship, raise a healthy family. You don't find that. You know, I'm telling you, when I say what I talk about politically, it's because of personal fucking experience. I've gone up and down. I've never been rich, but I've gone from, you know, neighborhoods where everybody was working to neighborhoods where most people were on public assistance. And there was a big fucking difference. You know, the first area I grew up in, I mean, the streets were clean. People looked neat and healthy when they walked the street. Go to the next place, people look sick. Things are dirty. Things are decrepit, you know, decaying. So, you know, we know what the fuck is going on. But these cats are not about dealing with that sort of reality. Like, you know, Alex Jones and a bunch of others. Bill Cooper could have been lumped into this because he was part of the Patriot thing. But he exposed Alex Jones and a bunch of these folks as not being patriots. He's like, you know, my idea is kind of, I mean, if you want to stretch it a little bit, I suppose he's more like Chris Christopherson and, you know, that league of white folks, you know, people like you say, who are like, okay, look, I'm white, I'm here, we know the slavery, this, that, and the other, but we can move forward from here. Without being, you know, fucking, you know, without bullshitting ourselves and each other and being honest about what happened and make some kind of goddamn arrangement. Indian people giving their motherfucking land back. If we, you know, if you're white, you're stuck in it, well, then you live under their fucking government. That's it.
Oh, speaking, you know, speaking of which, I gotta run off tangentially for a minute here. I saw a video over the weekend where the goons in Malheur were rifling through boxes of Indian artifacts.
Oh yeah,
at Malheur, and mm-hmm. complaining about, well, there's these stone points and they're sitting here rotten, because, you know, stone rots. Well, there's a follow up to that, and that is that the Burns Paiute tribe have rejected the offer of the Bundians to have an open dialogue with them, because in that video you might remember the traders said, "We want you to come here and get your stuff," like they were some sort of landlord and they were just going to put it out on the lawn, right? Well, the northern Paiutes, in a story reported by Oregon Public Broadcasting, said allowing the militants free passage from the refuge means that our cultural patrimony is unprotected and easily transported outside the refuge for sale or misappropriation by the militants. And she wrote this in a letter to both the Justice Department and the FBI. And she wrote it after that video showing them rifling through a room full of tribal artifacts.
Yeah, it's hurtful. Whether you belong to that nation or not, it's hurtful because it shows the disrespect that these white men have. And I'm saying it like that because that's how they're carrying themselves. And you listen to them and you read their literature and you listen to their arguments. This is about white men taking it back. This is what Take It Back was all about. And they timed this. We, you know, the mainstream media has, you know, made it clear. They planned this for months. Anybody with an IQ over 10 would understand that they have planned this for months. This was not a, you know, an ad hoc thing. It just looks that way because they're a bunch of fucking idiots. They're idiots. And they didn't plan this shit well because they got a lot of goddamn bravado and a whole lot of fucking testosterone poisoning and shit. And they weren't goddamn thinking this whole fucking thing through. But we're really looking at this and they had no goddamn exit strategy. They never intended to leave. You know, Ammon Bundy was talking about, well, if the community asked us to leave, we'll leave. Well, they did ask you to leave. Matter of fact, they told you outright.
Yeah, go. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
But yes. What really gets me is the fucking law enforcement down there letting this shit get as far as it's gotten. Now, let me read this real quick. This is from Les Sates. He's a local reporter. And he just fucking, a couple of nights ago anyway, reported, one aspect of Sheriff Glenn Palmer's dealings with the militants puzzled me. Ryan Payne, who handles tactics for the group, helped organize militia gunmen at the Nevada ranch standoff in 2014. He told the Montana Independent in a later interview, we had counter-sniper positions on their sniper positions. We had at least one guy, sometimes two guys, per BLM, the Bureau of Land Management.
Right.
Agent in there. So, it was a complete tactical superiority. If they made one wrong move, every single Bureau of Land Management agent in that camp would have died. This is the reporter now. I asked Sheriff Palmer in writing if he was aware of this before he met with Payne. I asked whether he would find it acceptable for the militia to scope in on his officers. He never answered.
No, because he's the constitutional sheriff of the year for the year 2011. Hallelujah, praise Jesus.
Well, you got another sheriff down here who's agreeing with them, letting everybody know that he agrees with them and that he doesn't recognize the federal government. But he's been talking crap like that for a long time. But, you know, this nonsense here, because I believe I read this in Oregonian.com.
Well, Glenn Palmer is that sheriff.
He is that sheriff. Okay.
Yeah, from Grants County, Oregon, which is adjacent.
No, I heard there's another one.
No, which is adjacent to Harney County. And the Bundidiots, isn't it interesting that that name begins with the syllable Bund? Mm-hmm. Never mind. But the Bundidiots are courting this Glenn Palmer guy because they expected Harney County Sheriff David Ward to say, well, come on in, I hate the government. And I apologize for the stupid voice that I use every time I bring these people up, but I can't help it. I can't think of them as normal human beings. They're miserable, miscreant wastes of oxygen and whatever handful of $3.67 worth of elemental stuff exists in the human body. But here's something to think about. And it just dawned on me the other day. You know, if they draw this out long enough, these dumb sons of bitches are going to be able to qualify to vote in Harney County. Think about that for a minute.
Well, yeah, but like I said, you know, I'm hearing rumors about this, that there are at least four sheriffs around here.
Probably.
Law enforcement officials, whatever, that are sympathetic.
Well, it's like our buddy Roger in Humboldt said the other day on one of my Facebook pages. He said, you know, he's kind of gotten on board with where I am and where you are, that part of the reason there's no overt action to dislodge these bastards is because the government isn't sure that if it gave the order to do it, the order would be followed.
Which says what?
I mean,
that says it all.
Yeah, who knows how far the Oath Keeper treason in this country extends?
You know, that says it all. You know, if that's the case, where you have, I mean, look at this as somebody, you know, looking from the outside. Here you have the first black president in the United States, a country founded on African fucking slavery. They've been calling this man everything, including a nigger, a tar baby, a boy in the press, all that is bullshit.
And now he's not even a real human being. He's a construct.
So, you know, this has been going on. They've insulted his wife, not just in the United States, but also in the European fucking press.
Well, did you happen to catch that story about Jeb Bush?
Which one?
And his damning with faint praise. He was giving some speech about how, or somebody was, I forget exactly what the setup was, but someone was complaining about Michelle Obama not going to China with President Obama on some state visit. She was, in point of fact, in Europe at the time, promoting her Get Up and Move initiative, or something like that, or Let's Move, I think it's called. But by way of damning with faint praise, when asked about it, Jebya said, well, you know, we hear about this all the time, that, you know, he went to China and it was deeply disrespectful for him not to bring his spouse with him. But I'm not going to give him a hard time. Maybe Mrs. Obama was home helping Malala with her schoolwork. Malala.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, because he can't pronounce those complicated African names like Malia.
You know, I mean, why say anything at all? But see, he had to, you know, this had to draw a little blood.
Well, it's got to be a little dog whistle.
You know, this has got to be something. But again, one of the reasons why Trump is going forth and why we're seeing this bullshit happen is because it was never effectively dealt with. Now, again, I'm going back to the black thing because it's important. We're looking at election 2016. We have Hillary Clinton coming in, who is really no friend to the goddamn black community.
That kind of gets me. How she's a pal of the black community when she was talking, and Benedict was posting about this earlier today, posted a story. Back during the welfare reform debate, she said, well, these people have gone to work and they're no longer deadbeats. You know, that's not me slamming Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. That is an actual quote. They were deadbeats when they were on welfare. Deadbeats. Which is right up there, as Isaac and Sandra pointed out to me, the clip of her black scaring America back during Bill's presidency, talking about super criminals.
Well, yeah, you know, again, I get into these conversations with my own people. Oh, you can't blame Hillary for, you know, the new crime bill. Because, you know, people who know me know I'm very heavy about that. And they're like, well, you know, her husband was president, not her. I'm like, but she went out there fucking pushing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what are you talking
because it
about?
Was a, remember, it was a partnership presidency?
Exactly.
What about mandatory minimums?
Yeah, well, that was part of the new crime bill.
I think it's just that the media created Hillary as the inevitable nominee, and as Killer Mike said, if Bernie will go into the South and do some black radio shows, black radio stations, he said the black community will come running to him. Now you're obviously saying there's an element that won't. I got a note here from Ron in Raleigh, angry. Subject line is "Tell Angry." He says, I worked with a young brother this past summer who was one of the hoteps. I tried all summer to talk some sense into him. He was having none of it. This is an insidious indoctrination almost as bad as mainstream religion. Science, history, anthropology, nothing is true other than the power of melanin.
Yeah. You know, and I wrote about this in a piece. I'm not trying to, you know, plug it, but I did write about
plug,
this.
Plug.
Well, you know, the mismeasures of revisionist Afrocentrism, you know, addressing African fascism. That is a result of racism, you know, pushing black folks down, telling us, I remember having to deal with this. You have no history. As a Native American, as a black person, you have no history. You have no history. You know, And the times that I did get over was because, well, we see a little white in you, so we'll give you a break. And because of the way I was raised and shit like that, I had the manners and so on, I could carry myself. But once I opened my mouth and started saying, well, hey, you know, George Washington was a slave owner. You know, Thomas Jefferson owned his son in France. Argue with him in French. You know, as I started to read on my own about this. And you have to remember, my initial, you know, my nuclear family was not political at all. You know, they voted Republican until it didn't make any sense to them for them anymore. And then they voted Democrat, right? But, you know, like most black folks, you know, from their generation. But the rest of my family, on the other hand, were revolutionaries. And I'm not talking about running around with a gun and doing anything crazy. I'm talking about they taught as Geechee people. That
the transgenerational transmission of knowledge to you know unto the future, so that when the time comes, people are prepared. Yeah, that's
the only way it works.
And that's revolutionary.
That's the only way it works.
I want to turn us back just for a minute, if I may, to this business of the Paiute artifacts, because this story bothers the hell out of me. Because among other things, the Paiute representatives who spoke with Governor Kate Brown's office, and the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's office, included in that conversation were what are described as confidential documents relating to the tribe's cultural resources. And the Northern Paiute's position is that they did not have this fear when the federal government held the artifacts. But they hold the fear now that the Bundyites, the thugs, that they will in fact, since they demanded that the Paiute come and get their stuff, and the Paiute have said no, what you're doing is illegal, that they will sell off the artifacts as a means of funding their continuing seditious activities.
At least three. This is what I've been told. I cannot say that I've seen this for myself. I've been told at least three items have appeared on eBay. I've heard other, you know, whispers about more. And this is a major concern right now for the Paiute people, that their, you know, their history is being, and their, you know, it's one thing to say artifacts, but as indigenous people, wherever we come from on the planet, anywhere in the fourth world, where we bury our ancestors, where we put their things, that's important to us, and they're not to be disturbed. And while I have a problem with this in a personal sense, because, you know, as someone who really admires and has a love for science, I want to know. But at the same time, you know, that these things were put in places to be left alone.
Well, look, these there's a difference. There is a legitimate, and I'm saying this as a white guy with all the privilege, and so I understand that I am subject to correction. But there is a difference, Angry, between digging into a burial and appropriating the remains therein, or the artifacts therein, and stuff that shows up in a surface collection, okay? The problem... And you know, arrowhead hunting has been, a boyhood pastime in this region, in the South, and for generations. Mm-hmm. To this day, down in the Tennessee Valley of Alabama, and into Tennessee, the parts that weren't flooded. In the spring, when the farmers turn their fields, people will go to the farmers and say, listen, do you mind if I just walk your fields and see if you turned up any arrowheads? And they'll say, well, sure, that's all right. And you can walk through those fields and pick them up off the ground. And they're not necessarily coming from burials. There were a number of Native peoples who did not bury their dead. They cremated them.
Mm-hmm.
This was fertile hunting ground, that kind of thing. This was a forest that extended from the Atlantic seaboard to the Mississippi River. It wasn't all open farm ground. And over the course of 10,000, 15,000 years of occupation, inhabitation. God only knows how many arrows were shot or lost. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah. See, I have no again.
And just to finish up the idea, a long, long time ago, when I was riding my dinosaur to college, I spent a summer, and I've talked about this in the past. It remains one of those seminal influences in my life. It changed. It was one of those crossroads moments on the spider web, where the way you look at things completely changes. But I was involved as a student archaeologist in a dig in southwest Tennessee. And it is a magnificent place. By the time the state of Tennessee got their hands on it and purchased it and set it aside as a protected cultural area, and good on Tennessee for doing it, what had probably been an area with upwards of 1,000 mounds, everything from the second highest mound in the United States outside of Cahokia down to little 6-inch platforms that were just simply where one built one's home, existed, but a whole bunch of them had been plowed over or plowed under. And that was a source of some grief to me, because you hate losing culture. If you're me, you hate losing culture, no matter whose culture it is that's being lost. Not because I want to sell it or sell tickets to it, but because it is an irreplaceable manifestation of the works of hands and the roads and days of people about whom we can know very little and can't afford to lose what little we have to tell us they were here.
Mm-hmm.
And on this site, they built a museum. And he's very busy these days, and he listens to podcasts more than he listens live. I'd love to have Dr. John's input on this. But on this site, they built a museum, and they tried to build it with respect for what was around there. So they made it look like a modern mound. And there's the typical interpretive displays. There's a room where you can view a film about the site. And then there are museum displays of stuff that has been discovered. And the state of Tennessee worked, back when Tennessee had a sane state government, they worked with local tribal people, indigenous people, to be as respectful as they possibly could be. But since I was a student there, I got to go behind the scenes. And I got to go into the basement, into the lab, because I was taught lab work. It's not any glamorous Indiana Jones stuff or Romancing the Stone or any of that crap. There's a lot of really dull, tedious work involved. Counting nail after nail after nail after nail that was uncovered where some settlement had been. But in this particular case, there was box after box after box after box of indigenous artifacts. And it wasn't because anybody had done anything deliberately wrong. And I asked the question, why hasn't this been returned to the... And the answer was, these things are 10,000 years old. We have no idea who they belong to. because tribal peoples came and went across the region. I remember specifically there was a red soapstone pipe. Beautiful, hand-carved, everything. That was given as a gift, an honor by a tribe to someone in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and it had been passed down through the generations, and somebody in the family had finally given it to the museum there at the archaeological park, simply because they didn't want it to wind up in some goddamn flea market. And they felt like it would at least be protected from that kind of predation at that archaeological area, at that cultural preservation area. But there were boxes and boxes of this stuff. And one of the senior archaeologists under whom I was working, when I was asking about it, said, look, and this is the direct quote, no provenance, no goddamn data. In other words, we don't know where it came from. We don't know what the situation was of its discovery. We know nothing. So as such, we have absolutely no data beyond what we can say about, say, the way the tool was flaked or the style of tool it was. We can guesstimate that it was made within this cultural tradition at roughly this time period, but that's all we can say. And so you really can't stick it in a museum. And so when I was reading the story about the Northern Paiute and the fact that these insensate sons of bitches, self-made, were rifling through things. See, we got a bag here since 1980. What's it doing here since 1980?
Yeah, because, you know, there was nothing before 1980. You know,
1890, well, maybe it was found in a surface collection. Was it found in a burial? I mean, we have a Remains Repatriation Act now that says if you find remains, you have to do right by them with the nearest genetic relative to them.
Well, see, I'm glad you said that because I was, you know, trying to bring up the Kennewick man, because when that find happened, I was in Washington State at the time. And there was a big, big thing. All of the white supremacists, all the Asatru, all of the Thor fuckers, all of the European pagan underground and their neo-Nazi fucking pals were claiming Kennewick, man, because the original scientist that had examined or had access to the remains, Samuel Chalmers, I believe his name was, he said that it looked like Jean-Luc Picard to him, the actor or the character in Star Trek. And, you know, they were like, oh, you know, this proves the white people were here first. And then you have the Salutrian.
Please, not with the Salutrians. No, please.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
No, but that makes me crazier than a head and a hog is in the ass. It really, really does.
Well, hey, we talk about black hoteps. Well, you got white. You know, I don't know. What
oh no, 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 no! There's a desperate desire on the part of white European descendants to prove that somehow or another, white folks were here already, so it's okay what white colonization did to this continent.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, at the time that these mounds were first being seen by white settlers, the first thing that came to their, well, son of a gun, I bet you these here's is Indian mounds, what was built by the lost tribes of Israel.
Israel, yeah, and that's connected to the Cherokee, right, which a whole lot of shit has been connected to the Cherokee, because the Cherokee Nation, the men, besides shaving their, you know, the majority of their hair and leaving a top knot, for those that had been, you know, educated in Europe, not just the folks that came over, but those who had a little education and thought that they came over here, they could become a land baron within 8 or 10 years. They had seen images of the Oriental world.
Well,
right?
why do you think Joseph Smith declared that he translated the golden plates, you know, using the Thummim and the Ummim seeing stone, looking through his hat? Why do you think he declared that the stones were written in Reformed Egyptian?
Exactly,
because that was something that captured the imagination of the American people at the time. I mean, my God, my friends up in Wisconsin just dodged one recently because apparently a bill's not going to make it out of House committee, you know, in the Wisconsin Assembly this session. But a bill had been introduced that would have allowed private landowners with Indian structures, native structures on their property. It was like the Freedom of Land Use Bill or some Orwellian horse crap would have allowed landowners, white folks, in what are known as the ceded territories to, if there was a structure there, like a mound or something like that, they could once they ascertained that it was not a burial mound, they were, under this bill, they were free to plow it under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that they could make appropriate profit-bearing use of their land, because it was their land. They done stole it and then bought it fair and square. And it's not, but you know, it's not going to happen this year. But constant vigilance is required to make sure that it doesn't happen the next year or the year after that or the year after that or the year after that, angry, because these sons of bitches always come back. They never give up. It's like the goddamn right to work bill here in West Virginia. They managed to screw it up last year because they were a young teabagger legislature, but they've spent all year figuring out how to get it done. And now the Senate has passed that bill. And even as it was being passed, the gallery of the West Virginia State Senate was filled with working people opposed to the passage of the bill. And a state senator from Upshur County stood up and said, "Well, I'm not worried about all these people in here today. The people we're worried about and on whose behalf we're voting, they're out there in West Virginia actually working. They're not like these people in here."
Yeah, it's that usual bullshit. You know, I watched my father work his ass literally to death. So, you know, he was a proud conservative black man, Gullah, who felt that if he did an honest day's work and took care of his family and was good to his wife and his children, that he shouldn't have to answer to any fucking nobody else, that he was a man and took care of himself. And I watched that man work himself, still believing in this motherfucking system. Because, you know, as far as he was concerned, you know, a nigga could not do as well as I'm doing anyplace else in the world. He believed that. Because his education and his, you know, expanse of knowledge went that far. So, you know, he, you know, couldn't see anything else. But what we're fucking really, really talking about, and why the appeal of Trump, who says that he could shoot a bunch of people and not lose a goddamn voter and still retain respect from the political machine that is the RNC, when you have Bernie Sanders, who was not perfect by any goddamn stretch of the imagination, but he's a damn sight better than Clinton, and the entire fucking DNC has been working against him from the fucking beginning. I mean, O'Malley to a degree, too. But they've been consciously working against fucking Bernie Sanders. And part of the reason that I believe this, and you have Tinashe Coates, who has gotten some play recently, not just for the fact that he's a black man, you know, working at TheAtlantic.com, you know, which isn't a notable feat in and of itself. It's like Elvis, whatever his name is, working over at the New York Times as a critic. You know, he's able to have dreadlocks and work at the New York Times. I mean, well, goddamn, who the fuck ever saw that? But at the same time, while they could be calling, you know, Hillary Clinton out on her bullshit in terms of, you know, trying to keep wages down at Walmart and every place else in the goddamn United States for not really going through with single-payer health care, because you can't say universal health care in the United States because that's just too goddamn socialist. You know, Finn Svalstein, all that was bullshit. But let's really talk about her, you know, foreign policy. Let's talk about her lying about sniper fire in Bosnia when she was with Sheryl Crow and fucking Sinbad the comedian, who said that she was a fucking liar about that. Let's talk about her talking about Barack Obama not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to answer the phone. You know, her race baiting when she ran the last time.
Yeah.
You know, Tinashe Coates and these other black folks that are jumping, middle class. And like I said, I'm bringing up the HOTEPs, right? But look at the middle class. The middle class is giving Hillary a pass. They're giving somebody who has more of a connection to white supremacy than Bernie Sanders ever will. Has Bernie Sanders made a couple of fucking off-color comments? Yes. In terms of misogyny? Yes. Does he support reparations? Politically? No. This is what Tinashe Coates and the mainstream is getting on him about.
That column made me a little bit crazy, because the idea that you're going to single out Bernie Sanders for not being for reparations. I mean, look, let's get something clear. I'm for reparations. I'm absolutely for them, and I think that they should be the product of if we had any courage in this country at all, they should be the product of a National Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Well, yeah, and
just,
see, and
you
that's
know,
the just nice
like,
way
just
to
like
do
the one Canada had.
Well, South Africa, everybody's looking at that because no white people were held accountable. Yeah, we beat that motherfucker to death. Stephen Biko died. It was an accident. Hey, we didn't think the motherfucking coffin would break. But, you know, hey, man, these things happen. I'm sorry. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, he's sorry. He admitted it. So let's move forward. Next case. See, white folks, not just bigots, but white people in general, they love that. Okay, don't hold any of us responsible for the privilege that I have and I'm fighting to goddamn retain. Let's get an individual motherfucker, somebody that we don't like. So we'll point to the Klan because they're easy. We'll point to a couple of neo-Nazis because they're easy to point out because we don't like them either. They're a pain in the ass to us. Those are the white Hoteps. They're a pain in the ass to us with this craziness about this is Obama number three. But we don't want to give up one motherfucking iota of our goddamn privilege. So if the Klan has to exist on the marginal shit, I'm down with that. It's the same compromise I have to make with relatives that are fucking, yeah, well, you know, the black man created Kung Fu. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? There's more of a line between India, ancient India.
Wait. Is this because of that song?
No. See, well, what happened was a Korean-born, but Japanese martial artist named Masayama published a book some years back. He's passed. But he published a book some years back saying that if you look at the pyramid text, you'll see the fighting styles. And they did, of course. They were martial. They had an army. Of course they had martial arts. They had ways of fighting. And, you know, there's a good argument that the Greeks picked up what became Pankration and classic boxing and bullshit like that, what was used in the first Olympic Games, that they learned a lot of this, not every goddamn thing. Of course, they had their own grappling, their own forms of combat.
Well, heavens to Betsy, there's an ancient, there's every bit as much of a likelihood that, they don't like to admit it, but the ancient Greeks appropriated a lot of stuff from the ancient Persians, okay?
Well, yeah, of course.
And there's an ancient Persian wrestling culture. You get up into the Punjab of India, there's an ancient Punjabi wrestling culture.
Yeah, and Africa has its own, you know, wrestling forms. I mean, we all did. But the point is, with these cats, they need to find a way, the same way the Anunnaki did under Heinrich Himmler and the Nazis, to somehow connect Atlantis and the Holy Grail and the Tibetan masters that they got from Blavatsky. It's a hodgepodge of bullshit that under any critical fucking objective scrutiny will fall the fuck apart. I've made up my mind. I told my wife this, Ms. Angry Indian, that I made up my mind that 2016 is going to be the year that I do as much debunking of bullshit as possible. Now, you got this Dr. William Morris, who obviously is not a goddamn doctor. But in the black community, doctor is a term of, it has a double meaning. It's a term of endearment, you know, reserved for elders, somebody who really has a good, you know, serious knowledge of what it is that they're doing. But it doesn't imply that they're a medical doctor, right? But you got cats running around like this one, Dr. Sebi, who I don't even really know if he's alive or not, but his company, or the company that he started, sells these supposed cures that are based off, you know, what he calls natural food balances and combinations of his own. But supposedly, this cures AIDS. It cures cancer. It cures herpes. It cures, you know, hypertension. It cures diabetes. All of this shit. And people spend about $15,000.
Yeah, and look at how many of those hustles are out there worldwide. And some things are seriously true. Mm-hmm. Like vitamin D for white folks in the winter because, you know, we're
of the environment, yeah.
Because we don't absorb sunlight very well, which is a producer of vitamin D, and then there's not so much sunlight, so that, you know, B12 is a real boost.
Okay, you just talked about this. Let's go back a little further. Somebody out there is going to know what the fuck I'm talking about. Somebody wrote a book called The Iceman Inheritance. He was a Canadian. They had some First Nations heritage. And he wrote this book saying that Europeans are the way they are, warlike, this, that, and the other, because of the Ice Age. He made the argument, kind of like guns, germs, and steel. An unscientific argument, but he put out the hypothesis that Europeans are warlike and fucked up in a lot of different ways because of their environment. You know, because when the Ice Age came down and, you know, resources were scarce, they had to fight. And they fought each other all the goddamn time. The Vikings came down and fought fighting.
I mean, I've seen some of that stuff. By the way, you know, fish oil is real. I mean, they found that out. I take standardized fish oil every day because, again, of that culture, you know, that genetic cultural patrimony of mine that is really, really handy if you're living up around the Arctic freaking circle. It's good to be able to store fat because that means your skinny white ass doesn't freeze to death every winter. It's not so good, though. 1,000 generations later, or whatever, when you're sitting in a chair in a radio studio in West Virginia, and that chair sitting leads your cholesterol to be you know numbers that are only calculable by graduate math students.
But you've said it before. It's the point of the fascist. What is the main definition of the fascist? They look to the past, a revisionist past, to understand their present and to envision their future. The reality of how things are and how they got to be this way, no one wants to hear it. I just saw something recently. Glenn Beck was called on by Chris Cuomo, who said, you are one of the people that created Trump. So how the fuck can you act now like you have absolutely no responsibility for what the fuck has happened? Oh, well, you know, Trump's dangerous, he says. This is Glenn Beck now.
Was he not dangerous back when the Beckerhead thought he was the neatest thing since sliced bread? Sliced white bread?
The same thing. Look, this is a Putney Swope moment. It happened with Obama, and they kept him for the second round because they realized that he was good for the fucking country. He was good for the country, so they kept him. But it was a Putney Swope moment. Nobody really believed that this shit was going to fucking go as far as it did. The same thing with fucking Trump. Trump was getting the RNC attention. That's all the fuck they were concerned about. They thought that they could control that motherfucker. And then they realized, well, goddammit, he's really fucking Mussolini in the fucking flesh. And we can't stop this son of a bitch. He's getting all the support of the fucking far right and all of those white people who normally don't goddamn vote.
And you know, I love the fact that I'm still reading articles and hearing people who are allegedly progressive broadcasters saying, no way will Trump be the nominee. That's impossible. That's unthinkable. I'm like, well, maybe it's unthinkable if you don't have a brain. By the way, I want to go backwards for a minute because I just got this, what you were saying a couple of minutes ago about the 08 campaign. I just got this note in from Steve in New York. He said, I will never forget this interview in, 2008? Reporter, do you think Barack Obama is a Muslim? Hillary Clinton, not as far as I know.
Yeah.
And see, that's just like if Bernie is the nominee, it won't be the Republicans who started all the business about, well, he's a Soviet style socialist. You know who that's going to be? That's starting inside the terrified Hillary camp. She's mean, and you've got to be mean to be the campaigner she's been.
Yeah, but there are black folks, for example, who are saying, "Well, hey, she's a woman; she's got to do that." And you can mention what the fuck you just talked about, and they'll dismiss it. This is why Killer Mike is so important, because he said, and you know, he's like, "Yeah, I smoked the joint and sat and watched his YouTube shit and realized this man is actually talking about what the fuck is happening with me." But see, the thing is, black folks don't know anything about Bernie Sanders, and they don't know anything about socialism. I'm telling you this right now, Brother Bob, on the fucking air, because it's the fucking truth. I have gotten into more motherfucking arguments with black people on the subjects of communism and socialism, Marxism in general, than I have with white people. Why? Because they know absolutely nothing about it. And the number one motherfucking retort that I get from black folks, and I'm ashamed to say this, but it's the fucking truth. The number one retort that I get from black folks is, well, it can't be good because everybody hates it, so that must mean something. So my retort to them is, so basically, you don't know what it is, But you bitch about white people all day. You complain about racism. You don't like your motherfucking social position. You're mad with the fucking world about it. But here I'm trying to explain to you that there are different political fucking systems of which you might want to fucking pay attention to. Because Malcolm X certainly sure goddamn did in writings, in fucking speeches.
Well, so did Dr. King.
So did Dr. King. But see, again, when you're a conservative in the black community, in the Mexican community, in the Asian community, the only motherfucking litmus test is what white people say. You can, I will.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's tough to stomach.
Hey, you think I like saying it?
Well, no, you but think I mean, I like you, arguing you, know, you look up men? And you go, hey, remember that promise of 40 acres and a mule that never came through? That would have been socialism.
But you can't explain that to these folks. And they think
maybe not.
And they think they know because they read a tract. Now, you got some folks who believe that the first president of the United States was black. And no, even though the Liberian government said, no, the photograph that you're looking at is the daguerreotype of our senator, of our representative. It is not who you think it is. They got the names mixed up. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to believe it. They never wanted to fucking accept it. They want what the fuck they want. But at the same goddamn time, here you have Killer Mike, who is pointing out the only reason black people are not supporting Bernie Sanders
is they don't know him.
They don't know who he is, and they don't understand the background politics. Because if they did, they would support him. But they want to go for the devil that they know. Hillary Clinton was married to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton likes women with fucking thick legs and backsides. Jennifer Flowers, for a lot of brothers, yeah, I tapped that. I can understand Clinton. He used to smoke weed. He had to tell them that he didn't inhale. But he smoked weed. I smoke weed. Hey, man, he likes catfish. I like catfish. You dig what I'm saying? I like Bill Clinton, man. He was on the motherfucking Arsenio Hall show. You know what I'm saying? He likes black folks, man. And he has an office in Harlem. So what the fuck are you complaining about? He's down with us. No, he isn't. He put the majority of you in the motherfucking clique. Oh, man, you know, you're talking all that socialist bullshit. I always knew you was a communist, man.
Oh, man.
You know, you're cool and all that shit. But, you know, I always knew you was a communist. Yes. And then I asked them if they've ever read Capital 1, 2, or fucking 3. No. Have they ever read the motherfucking manifesto? Zero. Had they read the, you know, speech to the Working Men's Association, 1848? No. They know nothing about fucking politics, let alone communism, socialism, or anything else that deals with the fucking left wing. They don't even understand the fucking real bylaws of the goddamn Nation of Islam, but they want to quote Malcolm X all fucking day long while they're smoking a fucking joint, while they're drinking fucking Hennessy, while they just finished paying for a fucking stripper.
Oh, meanwhile, a quick update coming from Jack down in Shreveport. He's been watching his Twitter feed, and he just saw a tweet coming from Les Zeitz, who you mentioned earlier in the program, mm-hmm. The reporter for the Oregonian. He just tweeted, Pete Santilli, who runs independent radio service, said those at Refuge were told by FBI to leave now. Now, you know, how much can you...
It's Pete Santilli, so
yeah, right. So, how much stock can you put in it? I don't know.
I don't put any stock in Pete Santilli, other than he's a fucking freak who wants attention, who looks like, you know, obviously his mother didn't breastfeed him fucking long enough.
Yeah, I feel like I completely missed the boat here. You know, if I'd been a little bit more ruthless and a little bit more predatory and a little bit more self-serving. If I'd had any brains, I would have gone up and broadcasted live from Zuccotti Park when Occupy was going on up there.
And Bob, you would have been threatened like John Cefoda, whatever his name is, from the Oregon Public Broadcasting. They rolled up on him and reached under their goddamn coats, and somebody intervened. He put out a Twitter post saying, these motherfuckers actually stepped up to me when I was questioning Eamon Bundy about why the fuck they're still here. So if they even saw you coming or even knew who the fuck you were, because I understand they know who the fuck I am now. So they more than likely.
You know what? I've got a little respect for that community, regardless of how they vote or anything like that. They've got a right to live in peace in their community there in Burns.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't want to be another damn journalist who parachutes in and then, you know, disappears as quick as the fun is over.
Would you want to be compared
to...
Because
I've seen it happen here, Angry.
I saw him
parachute in for Sago. I saw him parachute in for the Upper Big Branch disaster.
And
you know, oh, we care, and the hand wringing, and how much we care, and microphones stuck in brand new widows' faces, and the still shocked, stunned widow saying, "Well, we always knowed coal mining was dangerous. You heard it here on CNN."
Well, hey, they sure did ignore Judy Barry, didn't they?
No. You mean Judy Bonds?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was, Jesus, you know, just, you know. Hey, Angry, we got to roll out of here, but it's been a great conversation. Of course, they all are, and I do appreciate it. We covered a little bit of ground. And if somebody walks up to you on the street and says, "Hey, buddy, I got an Arrowhead. You want to buy it?" Well, you know where it probably came from, right?
I don't deal with that. And majority of that shit is manufactured in Japan anyway. Trust me.
No, well, some of it's going to be coming out of Mal-Ur.
Well, it's already out there. But, hey, you know, when you're doing Manifest Destiny Part 2, you know, you don't give a fuck. That's part of the process. You've proved that you've taken over the land.
We stole it fire and squire.
If you want to believe that. Hey, everybody, if you can spare some coins, I know it's tough out there. Ms. Angry and I are having a hard time, too. But if you have a credit card, because I certainly don't, do what you can to support the Bob Kincaid Show.
Thank you, Angry. You have a good evening. And, you know, he's not kidding. By the way, along the way, Tracy extended her challenge. So there's a little it's now a $50 challenge and not a $40 challenge. Thank you to Gerald and to Jeremy for kicking in $23.73 worth of that challenge. That means there's $26.27 left that will be doubled by Tracy as soon as it's met. And that will leave us, if that happens, that will leave us going into tomorrow, starting prayer meeting Wednesday, passing the plate in search of $400. And because we still got the daily $200 to raise. And again, a reminder. I didn't know what time it aired. Check and see if Outsiders is airing in your area. Also tonight on the American Experience on PBS, The Mine Wars, which comes up in a matter of minutes. Well, at least here in the Eastern and Central time zones. Watch that, because I'll warrant if you do, we'll probably be having a pretty damned interesting conversation. After you see it. I'll have to watch it online later, but, you know, that's how these things go. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who keep all of this going with your kind contributions. Thank you very kindly. You know, when you contribute for yourself because you find this valuable. But remember, what you're doing is you're making this program free. It's free. Anybody, anywhere who wants to listen to it, any time, any archive, any file, any podcast, the live stream, the rerun stream, it's all free because you make it that way. And in point of fact, pat yourself on the back because you're doing the work that George Soros doesn't. You're doing the work that the limousine liberals won't. You're sustaining independent media, independent conversation, where the gatekeepers, I guess that's a word, won't support anything that they don't have direct control over. So that's a pretty damn big deal. I'm pleased to announce that Tracy's challenge has been met. Thank you very, very kindly. So we've only got about $200 to go to cover, well, the evening that went just, you know, before. But a little request: don't contribute if it's going to hurt you. The community has taken care of itself for 10 years. If you can, help. If you can't, don't. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.